Man, I'm down to my last $2. This chick to my, she want mink coats and diamond rings. A black navigator and things.
You talking to me?
Yeah, I think he's talking to you.
No, not at all. I want you to have it. Willie, you mind passing this down to...
Hey, no, hi, don't pass your cornbread to him. That's your cornbread.
Ray, I'm a grown man, okay? I'm not going to eat this cornbread. If he wants the cornbread, damn it. Have the cornbread.
Now, if he wants some cornbread, let him go up to the front and get his own portion of cornbread. That's your cornbread. Fuck him.
Hey, man, he going to eat his cornbread, all right? Fuck you.
Ray. Look, I don't need you to take up for me. I'm all right. I'm a grown man. I can handle it.
If you let him have your cornbread, you're going to be ironing his drawers and cutting his toenails.
Maybe I ought to eat your cornbread.
Oh, motherfucker, you can't have my cornbread. That's for damn sure. Because if you try to take my cornbread, part two of my killing spree going to begin up in here on your ass right now. If you think about my cornbread, they get the taste out your mouth. That's for damn sure. Now, fuck him. Fuck that. Because I'm from New York City, goddammit. Nobody take no cornbread from me. And that go for you and any other you motherfucking farmers want to try some shit. You fuck around with me.
How you doing, champ?
Hey, champ.
What's going on?
Hello, is this a gentleman? A lady? How's everybody doing this evening?
We doing fine, champ. You ready for next week?
Ready? Yeah. I'm ready.
Hey, I'm having a lot of money on you, man.
Well, you getting ready to be a rich nigga, you see, next week, I'm knocking somebody the fuck out. You understand what I'm saying?
I understand now. It took a while, but I got it.
Well, you peoples enjoy your meals. Come on, baby.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Dee from the Dee and Larry Show, CopCop.com. Welcome, my fans, friends, and loved one once more and again to another Saturday night of great news, history lessons, even learning for myself about this thing we love so much called drag racing, grudge racing, whatever you want to call it. We have two different names that really mean the same thing, but we're doing a Clocks Off once more and again, Clocks Off Radio. It's going to give us a good 2 to 3 hours a night of nothing but fun. Normally, I'm the one running late because I'm normally in a truck, but I chose not to work today to make sure I start on time. And now my co-host has disappeared again. I think he ran down to Memphis to be with Bobby, but if he do, he's going to give us a blow-by-blow report from what's going on in the South. But with that being said, we're going to have ourselves a little ball. We're going to have a little fun, as usual, doing it great here at Clocks Off. And I feel tonight should be no different. Sitting around today thinking, doing something I'm not accustomed to doing. It's called thinking. I came up between myself and my producer of the show with, what will we talk about tonight? What would be a great topic for tonight? And at the very least, I say in the last 10 minutes before the show started, my producer hit on something that made a lot of sense. And he said, "Amazing, why don't we ask the question tonight, how do you compare grudge racing today to what was done in the 70s, 80s, when they called it match racing?" Now, for those that's been around like myself for quite a while, seen quite a few birthdays come and go, we know this thing of drag racing, grudge racing, it goes back a long, long time. Match racing goes back to clear on back in the days, they matched horse against horse. Then they did buggy against buggy. Then we came with the Ford brother in the car. So match racing has been around a long time. The pros used to do it, and then we went and started calling it grudge racing. But it was originally called match racing. So what we're going to do tonight, we got the first half of the show, somewhere in between the first hour, hour and a half. I'm going to throw out a trivia question. And the first one, I won't say the first team, but the first one that can answer that question, we're going to win themselves a beautiful Clocks Off t-shirt tonight, clocksoff.com. Now, I know my manager may not agree with that, but I'm going to pay for that out of my own pocket. We ain't going to worry about it. We're going to take it out there. So the first one that can answer the question, but you got to listen, because I might do it in the next 10 minutes. I might do it in the next hour. But I'm going to do it within the first half of the show. I'm going to give away a Clocks Off t-shirt. I'm going to do it on my show. Let me please. I'm going to check with my producer a little early, see if I have, Lord have mercy. When you're trying to do something at home, you stay in your truck, and you don't have that problem. You stay at your home, your kids make all the noise in the world. Yeah, please. You ask them to be quiet, and they get loud. I'm going to check with my producer here and see if we have any mics open, any hands up, anyone calling the course of me to quiz me or even try to stomp me. And let's see, can we get something going here? But in the meantime, before we really take off and get started, let me say thanks to all of you all once again for calling. Those that might be on now, those that's coming on, I really appreciate you guys calling in. Without you, it wouldn't be no D and Larry. I want you always to know that and understand that. Without you, there would definitely be no D and Larry show. You all makes the world go round, so as we're concerned, and you all want to speak up and call my fans. Fans and friends and loved ones, you all what makes it go. This is what makes the show, not only D and Larry show, but all these shows, not just mine, all of them. I'm sure every radio talk show host would agree when I say you all, as callers, as fans, makes it go. With that being said, let's see if we got any more on air trying to win them a T-shirt. I don't know if we're going to ask that question. We're going to ask it very soon. Within the first hour, hour and a half, I know I will be asking you. With that being said, let's see if we got any hands up out there. Anyone out there, please feel free to hit that one button and do what you do best. So let me know what you think of the grudge racing world. Let me know what you think of the comparison. You know, it's not just a money thing. It's a monetary thing, cause, history within itself. Just how do you think this thing has evolved as far as the grudge? You know, I asked the question a few weeks ago, do you think the cars are going too fast? Do you think we should physically try to slow these cars down some? Is there ever going to be an end where we just say, okay, that's just fast enough, you know? I asked that question a few weeks ago, and we had a lot of response to it. Tonight, I'm trying to see, can we get that type of show again? I want the world to call in and see what we got going as far as comparing today's racing to what they did in the latest. Mission, but from a guy that's talking, my friend. Holy cow. Trying to drive at the same time, man. Real hard for him to hear. But as long as he gets situated, he can pull over. He's going to talk to us about what's going on down there and let us know who's winning. I think Mr. Witt is there. I think he told me he's going to be at Bobby Cole event, so maybe he can get back on the winning streak this week. And I don't know if Mr. Tony Bynes showed up there or not. But, you know, those seem to be, at the time, those seem to be the two heaviest hitters out of the South right now. Everybody wants to know what Tony Bynes and Wick is going to do or doing. So it seems like they're the two to report on from week to week. So I'm sure they want to call and tell me what they did or what they are doing. Here, I don't really know of anything that went on this week that I know of. I know I listened to Big Sham's show here a few days ago. One of my co-hosts off on Clocks Off. They had a few guys trying to lock in, but I don't think anything really came accomplished of that. But I got a question for you guys. For those that are out there that haven't hit the one button, that haven't got connected yet, I want you to keep trying so you can get in. I got a question for you. I listened to a show here a few nights ago. Tony Bynes and Donye. Tony stated to Donye that we're going to lock in. And he said, I got one stiff. Stiff he used was that we'll lock in if my car comes through the gate. As soon as you see my car come through the gate, he said, we'll consider locking in. I said that to ask the question. I'm going to get me. You know, we got one guy that comes from Clocks Off. We always talk about people getting other people's business. But I'm going to get in someone else's business. I'm going to ask the question. I want to see if anyone sees the way I see it. Do you think Rambo going to come through the gate? anyone out there that thinks Rambo is not coming through the gate or coming through the gate, give me a call and let me know what you think. I talked to one of Chicago's most wanted, and my theory, what I thought on that was that I don't think he's going to come through the gate. That was just a host race that Tony Book, and I don't think he ever intended to come through the gate. I wonder what you guys think about that. I think it was a real smart move on Tony Park, the way he did it. But he said, we're only locked in if my car comes through the gate. So until this car comes through the gate, we cannot consider it a lock. I want to know if anyone else out there see that the way I see it. If so, give me a call here. 1-800-CLOCKSOFF.com. No, that is serious. That is serious. 347-850-1016. 347-850-1016. Give us a call. Let us know what you think about that. I relocated myself here. Quiet. And you guys over here in the background know it's me. I know you guys here all the time. I'm in that truck. But now that I'm not in the truck, I never want you to hear it at home.
Man. Sound like you don't want them problems.
Who I got here?
Hello.
This is Lou.
Hello. How are you doing? All right, this is Kareem.
What's going on?
All right. What's currently a fan, but trying to get in the game slowly but surely. But I've been following y'all for, the whole year. Cool. The question about Rambo, I don't even doubt that he'll come through the gates. It's just, I think he said that step, because of the distance with the traveling, we up here in Chi-Town and they down there in Georgia, you know, making it to a track at the same time. Like, they done it before, but I think that's all he was talking about. Was just
I don't think the race is going to take place here in Chicago. I think they're going to meet up in Maryland, I believe.
Right, wherever they may meeting up at, you know what I'm saying. I think that's the only reason why he said if his car come through the gate. But as far as him being willing, oh, you already know him. He's ready for any action.
So,
I'm a Donye supporter all the way. But I just know that Tony Bynes, he'll get down.
Okay. I asked that question. I'm going to keep notes here. I'm going to make myself a note here for who believe he is going to happen and who believe it is not. So you said, Tony, if Tony showed up, he's coming through the gate.
Yeah.
So you want for
Tony Bynes don't want the
I'm with Donye's camp, no, hands down, but I know
Tony Bynes
going to come through the gate. Yeah.
Right.
I understand. Now, what I'm saying is you believe in Donye, but you're saying you believe Tony Bynes going to come through the gate if he's there.
Yeah.
With Rambo.
Yeah.
That's the key to the question. The key to the question is not whether he's coming through the gate, but is Rambo going to come through the gate? That's the key. And you believe that Rambo is coming through the gate?
He can. That's on him.
Okay.
Is Donye on the line, too?
I got someone else on the line. Who is it? Who else got there? Who's that guy there on the line? I heard someone else talking there.
Sounded
I didn't
like
quite
Donye.
That's who?
Sounded like Donye.
Yeah, it did kind of sound like him. What's your name, sir? Say your name. If you prefer not to give me a name, just say no. And we will. You got your mic is open. We're trying to hear what you're saying here. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm still here.
No, I was trying to see what the other
Yeah, the other
there.
Person, right.
Okay.
He sounded just like him.
He'll come back in, but whoever he is, we'll bring him back when he comes back. But right now, we have one for Tony. Actually, it's more than one, really, because I'm the host, and I don't believe Rambo going to come through the gate. So it's really one and one right now.
Why you think he made his car look like Donye so much? Why are you just biting, chomping at the bits, ready to get some action?
Tony
Bynes got a locked-in race already that day?
No, I don't know about
that. Actually, what he's got, I think he said he had a locked-in race that day, but it's just the way he found when he approached the lock-in with Donye.
Because he know his car is a little weaker. You know what that is.
You can't put that on
Hello?
Hello?
Who I got there?
Hey, D, what's going on? This Cadillac, man.
Oh, what's happening?
Hey, what's up, my brother? What's happening? Better way to call it out, brother.
Supporting the show, man. Bring you in, man. See what's going down, man. I hear y'all talking about them troubles that somebody really don't want, but they trying to act like it.
I'm asking you the question. Here's the question, Lack. Here's the question. The question that I asked was, Tony Bass locked in a race with Danye.
Okay.
And the race is locked in, I believe, to run in Maryland. Said the only slip he's going to use was that if his time come through the gate, is considered locked at that moment. So I said, do you believe he's going to bring the car through the gate?
I got no, he ain't going to bring Rambo through the gate. He ain't going to bring Rambo through the gate, man. He's going to bring something else.
So that's one
of I don't believe Tony gonna bring that car, man. Tony fixed the car,
man,
so it wouldn't go down the track.
That day, man. I bet he got. If I ain't mistaken, I think he locked in with SVO that day, man. If I ain't mistaken,
is he locked in with SVO? He's locked in to run, I believe he said that.
I ain't.
The question is he locked in to run at that track in Maryland with SVO that day?
No, that's what I was saying. Yep, on that flyer, they had it on that flyer too.
Be
posting up on Facebook.
Well, I hadn't looked on Facebook this week, but I just know I'm just going just the way he sounds when he locks the race in. It sounds real stiffy to me when he locks the race in. I've listened to Tony for quite a while now, and it appears to me when he locks a race in, he's really trying to run that race. I think we're going to know he's serious. And it just didn't sound like he was really trying to run.
Because he remembers the last time they was in Maryland. What was that, last year? Or the year before? And he got his feet put in. Yeah,
he ain't never run Danye. He ain't never run Danye.
But he saw him. He saw him when he ran Long Island Joe. And he already know.
Man, Tony Bass don't want them troubles, man.
Right.
If he come with Rambo, just real talk. He gonna have something else in Rambo.
Oh, you think?
And hey, Tony. It's one thing about Tony. You can't underestimate him.
Right.
You can't underestimate him now.
Rambo up like the hammer before it crashed with that motor and run like that. Maybe he waiting to try to get it like that. Where he got some
good
confidence.
Because Tony got 2-3 motors, man. Tony got 2-3 motors.
You know what, Kellogg? I'm glad you said that, because that brings something to mind.
Hey, the man got a nice running car, though, man. When he was at 41, that car looked good coming down through there.
He looked good.
He looked all right
for a squat.
Check this out. Joe, you just said something. It brought something to mind. I don't do too much thinking too often, but sometimes I get a brain crash. I ask you guys a question, and for all my other friends and loved ones out there, hey, feel free to chime in when you can. When you hit the one button, as soon as my producer opens your mic, please let us know who we talking to. You know, if you come on, just let me know this, Cadillac, so we can acknowledge you. I would acknowledge the fact that I have you on air. Let me ask this question. You said something that made a lot of sense. So you said if Rambo comes through the gate, he's gonna have something else in him. Well, let's check this out.
You don't need it.
Did you say these lock-in races, when they lock these races in, it never takes place a week later, sometimes 2 weeks later? That's too long for a tactical person. Do you think you're giving that guy ample opportunity to do just that, change engines or trans or whatever you need to get busy with your head? Do you think
Looky
you
here.
Time?
Looky here. You have to understand, man. This game here, a real racer, a real crew, cats that get crews, it don't take them no more than 45 minutes to drop a motor in trans, man, pull a motor in trans out the car.
That's my whole point, Joe, right there.
Because the front end comes, You cannot snap the front end, man. It ain't like the old big steel car like I got. It's going to take you 3 years and 2 months.
What the point I'm making is that you are correct. Engines can be changed just that quick. So do you think you're giving them too much time when you lock in a week or two ahead of time?
Yeah.
Okay.
Man, look at here.
No, I wouldn't say that. As a competitor, man, I would want my the person I'm going against, I want them at their best. So, you know.
So you really don't care what they do then. That's what you're saying?
Yeah. You know, had a man came on the show to lock him in, told him to get his ass down. You know what I'm saying? Y'all, everybody heard it. The man told him to get his ass down, and he ready to go.
The man, you got to understand, the man ain't underestimating that man. He feels just like this here. Whatever he can do, he better hope he do enough and bring enough to get this here, because I got enough to cover and some. See, anytime you lay there, you call a cat out, and he come to your race, and lay there full of moves, and then now he got big balls now. He coming to try to do something else. You got to have a bigger ball too to get be ready, because you know you giving him enough time to do whatever. If he do something, if he don't, you still giving him time on his side.
Well, you know, this is what them guys do. Ye basically challenged everyone that's within the saddle of his voice. That's within his class. And I truly think some out of his class. He actually had this life. He didn't fight no. He just
is.
Well, he's ready to take on the world.
Man, that man drawed on everybody.
Tony Brown
that
didn't
man
have
too.
Now, let me ask this, brother. I hope you guys heard this show when we first came on air. I made an announcement. I'm gonna make the announcement later on. I can't say what it'll be the first hour, first 30 minutes. But I really want a female to answer. I'm hoping I get a lady on to answer the question. We're gonna throw out a tribute question. Some alone the first half of the show. And the winner will get them a free Clocks Off T-shirt. I'm not giving off any hints what the tribute question is gonna be. We're going to just say, you know what? This question will be asked in the next 2 minutes. And at that time, we're going to ask the question. And the first one that can answer that question is going to win a free Clocks Off T-shirt courtesy of Dee Hunter. So, all you out there, if your mic drop, you get that going to put your mic in. Be prepared. First time, first serve. Old saying is, I close, I won't get fed. If you want to play, be prepared to answer the question. We're going to throw it out here. We're not going to say when. We're just going to bam and throw it out there. So. But back to what we were saying now, I don't know. It's just, like I said, I just didn't feel like he was sincere when he said that. That's why I asked that question. He just sounded like to me that he wasn't really serious about that lock-in. It sounded like it was a game. Because when he said the stiff is that if my car comes through the gate, I'm like, you know, he can park his car outside and can't be nothing to you. He won't lose a dime that way. Mm-hmm. You know, and that brings to mind something else as we're sitting there talking. Do you think these guys are paying to lock all this punk out? Do you think they're paying out too easy? Is he looking for a way out? Is that just the avenue out of? Are these guys really trying to raise? And somewhere along the line, something may happen, but they can't. Or do you think you're saying, you know what, I can't believe we can pay the park that out? What do you think? Yeah, saying that question. Not just the two I have on. I'm sure there's someone else out there in the way, you know. What else is. Hit the one button. Let's get the mic open. Let them come in. I want to know, do you think they're paying the punk out off the even? In other words, do you think the guy that's getting paid, do you think he's letting me off the hook by paying the punk out so easy? That's the question at hand. Is he really allowing you to get off the hook at me, like paying the punk out off and saying, I don't want that trouble or my car broke? You know, here's a guy come through the gate. He hadn't made a pass. He hadn't made a shakedown or nothing with his car. He brought the car to the track, but he said, my car is broke, and I'm just going to pay the punk out. Do you think that's fair to the guy that's getting paid? Or is the guy getting paid? Is he looking for an easy payday? Do he really want to run that race? What do you guys think of that?
Well, I'll say this here. Sometimes it don't matter what you think about it. Whatever go down, it go down. Sometimes it be for the best. Sometimes it be for the worst. Sometimes it just be what it is. So that's a catch-22 situation because nobody wants to pay a punk out. But if you see something that go down and you, like, you know where your car at and you see the car run another number and you like, woo, do you want to stay there or you got a chance to buy out?
Okay.
It's up to how you feel about it.
Okay.
You know what you got in your car. And if I seen the pass that Donye made when I was at Codovia and I was Tony Bynes, and I'd rather lose whatever the lockup was than to lose that puck, yeah, I'd rather just pay the puck out.
As Mother said on the air, what do you think about that? Are you still with me?
Yeah, I'm here.
What do you think about that? Do you think that the guy that's getting paid to park out, do you think he's allowing the guy that paid to park out off too easy?
Oh, no, no. Well, see about that. And, you know, when it comes to money, the universality of money, whether you're a racer or not, you know, everybody like to get paid, right? Now, as far as just letting the guy off the hook, I couldn't speak for anybody else, but what I would assume was that they'll take the money and think, oh, this person a chump, you know what I'm saying? They just don't want to go, or they don't care either way, they're getting paid. I don't know.
Here's why I asked that question. Let me throw this at you. Let me throw this at you guys.
Wait a minute, D. Hold on. I like how he sugarcoated and kept that and plucked it. You're like, okay, we're going to serve this up and let it be a duck.
Right. Let me tell you why I threw that question out. And for those that are listening, I keep saying, I'm going to keep saying until we do it, we're going to do a pop quiz question. And those that's listening have a chance to win a free Clocks Off t-shirt by just simply answering the test question. And let me say this now. Sometimes you make statements and answers be a statement. So you really need to listen as I talk tonight. I said I wasn't going to throw out any hints, but somewhere along the line, I just might do that. Now, question to you. I asked that question about getting the puck out being paid off. Is we letting them off the hook too easy? Because here's why I asked that question. You know, back in the days, pro stocks used to do a thing called match racing. And you couldn't walk up to Glidden if he was match racing Ricky Smith. Ricky couldn't walk up to Glidden and say, well, I'm going to pay this puck out off because bottom line is you too fast for me. He couldn't do that. He had to come to Atlanta race. So that's why I asked that question. Are we letting the guys off too easy by paying the puck out? We have a grudge racing field full of stiffs. And periodically I speak on stiffs. And this is one I would like to get clarification on right now. So one of the stiffs that I think we should have, you guys can give me your input on it, but one of the stiffs I think we should have in grudge racing is that if your car not broke, you got to run.
Yeah. That's why I agree with that.
You can't just pay the park out off because you seen me put a 750 on the board and you ain't ran number 770 all day.
Wait. We talking about no times, though, man.
I'm backing up. You know, I thought you didn't see me put a 750 on. But you felt like I put a 750 on, and you know you're a 770 man. So you choose to pay the 200 off. We got 200 locked in on 2,000 or better. So you take a 200 loss. You know, should you be allowed to do that, or should, you know, like I said, in the racing world today, this thing they call grudge racing, it's filled with stiffs. So
right.
I'm an advocate for knocking out all stiffs for two or three.
Right.
I think this is what we should add to it, is that if your car's not broke, should you have to race?
That's a good one. I'm not qualified to speak on it, because, see, I'm like baby boy, but I'm trying to get down. So, you know, I'm really paying attention to all the people that's been in this since I was just on the streets watching. But I don't have a problem with that step myself. If I was even in the game, if my car ain't broke and I'm already locked in, that's what a lock-in is, you know. That's me. You know,
what do you think about that, Richard? You think you should have to get out if you locked in and your car's not broke? Or you think you should just see something you don't like and be able to pull the park out off and get out of it? Talk, like, talk to me. Talk to me one time. Top down. Talk to me.
Man, I'm listening to what y'all saying, and I hear what you're saying, but a lot of cats, I feel, yeah, you should be still locked in the race, but some guys, they just let you out and kick you out another day. You know what I'm saying? You got some guys just wait for another day. They take that little money and do what they do and catch you another time.
I
but
know,
you should be still ready to race, but if you're not,
I just don't want
it is
to.
What it is, man. It like I told you, just like if it's a duck and you plug it, it's still a duck. You just catch another day.
Sound like my co-host can tell me. I might be wrong, but it kind of sounds like
might be some more around here.
Sound like my co-host is in with us here.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
That's why I asked that question, you know. The grudge raging world, like I said before, is filled with stiff, stiff, stiff. That's all you basically hear. You hear more about the stiff than you hear about the race. But I think one of the stiffs that they're not finding for, which still be, is that if your car's not broke, you should have to get to that. Like I said before, Rick and Smith couldn't go to Glidden, and they were locked in a match race. He couldn't go into a Glidden well. I think you just ran a little faster than I can run, so we're not going to worry. We're going to give you this 200 locked up on. They couldn't do that. They had to get to Atlanta and run their race. And I say all the time, basically what we were doing is just a lower class of pro stock racing. That's really what it is, just in a lower form. And hell, some of these guys running just as fast, I think. So should we be allowed to just wiggle out that easy? And I ask that question. You know, I like to tie my questions in. If I ask something at 8 o'clock, I might ask you guys something else at 9 o'clock that tied in with my 8 o'clock question. You got to really, you know, I'm not the smartest guy in the world, but I try to be tricky sometimes. You got to listen to me. And I asked that question there because I want to go back to what we were saying about Tony locking in with Donye stating, if I come through the gate, it's a locked-in race. If his car is with him, should he have to bring that car through the gate? If his car is not broke, should he have to come down?
Oh, yeah. I hear you with that. Yeah, why even bring it? Why even bring it and show up if you ain't going through the gates and it's not broke? Right, I agree with that.
That's what, see, like I said, I try to be tricky. I ain't as smart as I will be tricky sometimes. You know, should he have to pay that pot off versus that locked up? See, back when street racing was fun, you know, we didn't lock up money to pay the lockup off. We locked up money to race. And the race was that the pot itself, not a percentage of the pot locked in to lock up X amount more money. So you leave an avenue there to wiggle out. But if that joker had to come on down and run that race if his car's not broken, well, now, let's back up. You know what's going to be said when that, what I'm saying. The first thing that guy going to say, how do you know my car not broken? You got the track. If you got it at the track, evidently it's not broken. Now, next thing they'll say, I broke it at the track. No one else saying you make a blast. Yeah, we were up at Martin here a few weeks ago. Leon's car was hurt. Leon came to the track with the hurt car. I mean, after the track, I'm sorry, came to the stage and being with the hurt car and staged. So, with that being said, why should you be allowed to wiggle out a pen, $2,000, and pay a similar thing as $200? Because you just feel that this guy just ran faster than you thought he could run, which is faster than you. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And if that shit was put into play, a lot of BS would get out of racing. I really think. I think a lot of garbage would leave racing. You know? Because like I said earlier, man, guys just stiff, and stiff into racing, and stiff right out of racing. You know? And I don't think a person should be allowed to stiff themselves out of a race. I, myself, personally, I think you should either race. If you lock that race in, I think you should race that race. Stop playing. Shouldn't be allowed to play any. This game for grown men, man, not for kids. And in some cases, you know, your car is really hurt. Or some cases, your car is not together. It's just not together. If you haven't got a chance to test and tow your car and get down the track like you wanted, you can have that time. But don't lock in a race then. You know, if you lock that race in, it should be raining.
Yeah.
You know, that's just my, I'm looking for someone else to call in and try to hog tap me down on it, but that's just my opinion on it. And then watch my Cowboys mess up against Baltimore, too. That's just how I feel about it. I think you should be going and running that race once you lock that race in. Okay. So, Joe? We got any more hands up back. Do they have anyone out there that's not just listening? I know I can see we got guys listening, but do they have anyone there hitting the one button? If so, pop a mic on me and let them come on in here. Take a guys on the air. I can't complain about that because I call on the show sometimes myself, man. And I'm like, I talk so much on my own show. Sometimes I just sit back and listen. I was at the Kelly Joe show last night, and they opened back, but he was going so good, I just never said anything. It was just a good topic, had a good conversation going. I didn't get it, listen. Yeah, I have guys here tonight, I got people on the air. I guess they're waiting on, maybe they're waiting on me to say what the question is going to be to win this shirt. Yeah, I get this side hit the one by then. And we have some very nice shows here. I have one of them on Martin. Boxoff.com, man. He did a great job on it. Looks good. My wife take a mask for a cheap shirt to sleep in, but I knew it was going to come before I get it. You know, so I just got an extra bead just for that person. So whoever wearing this shirt, if it's a man, let me know before we ship it. If you need a 4X. If your wife is going to take it and use it for pajamas, let me know.
I got a question for you. Are you still with Grudge Inc.?
No, I'm with ClarkSoft.com.
Okay.
I never was with Grudge Inc. I just freaking their shows. See, I'm one of those guys, man. I'm with the drag racing world first.
Yeah, right. I'm with
ClarkSoft second. I just feel like the organization that we're trying to do here at ClarkSoft is a great thing. I think we got good people at the head of it. Everything is like a transparent when it comes to rules and regulations dealing with clocks off. No one's trying to hide anything. I got Mr. Gun and Pick at the top, and I got my other brother at the top of the show. And they don't try to hide anything from us.
Okay.
Everything is an open book. So if I'm going to be involved in something, I like for an open book. I like that because I know what I'm dealing with in the top, in the beginning. I don't have to wait till I get 80% into it. And I'm not saying this is what Grudge Inc. is doing. I was never part of Grudge Inc. I just freaking the show. So don't get me wrong, ladies and gentlemen. This is what I'm saying. And hear me clear. I'm not never saying that's what Grudge Inc. is doing or did. I was Grudge Inc. is doing what it's like. Won't be the gossip of it. It'll be about drag racing.
Yeah.
It is not about drag racing. There's no gossip I can give you.
Right.
I just got the noise right there, please. Turn it down for there. Someone got the background noise. Turn it down for me, please.
A lot of us making this transition here because I'm the same boat as you. If we not discounting your experience, but as far as with these things, you said it exactly how I am. You know, I was caught wind of Gunner's issues last year or the year before. With Grudge Inc. But me was a third party. You know, I had no dog in that bag. You know, I I didn't know what Grudge Inc. was doing or whatever, but I was just listening and noticed that, you know, Cadillac Joe and Baby Boy, you. So I'm like, okay, y'all got the memo.
What's your name, sir?
I said for about a couple of years now, first I heard Gunnett's issues with Grudge Inc. and why he even, you know, did the Clocks Off thing. But even at that time, since I'm a third party and wasn't affiliated with either one of them, all I could do was listen, you know, and pay attention and, you know, hear like a detective hearing the sides of the story. But over the time, I noticed that people slowly started getting on board. So, you know, that's why I even asked, like, okay, y'all got the memo.
Well, I'm going to say this. What's your name, sir?
Kareem.
Okay, I'm going to say this to you. Well, first of all, we're glad to have you aboard. You know? Glad to have you aboard when coming to South. I welcome every member. I welcome every fan. I welcome every female. Every member, man, boy, girl. I welcome you all aboard.
This
is
so goddamn
hard.
Yeah, somebody else.
Oh, okay. You know, we're trying to do some up and coming great things here. We're trying to give you guys a show every night. You know, like right now we have Long Island Joe show is Monday.
Yep.
I believe Gunny himself going to do a show Tuesday. I don't have the date right now, but I will get it to you before the night's off. We have a brother doing Wednesday. We have a connection in California we're going to do.
Yep. Is Teo on that one?
No, Keo not going to be on that.
Okay.
But now, let me say this now. We have someone else out there in California going to do it. But if for whatever the reason might be that Keo decides he wants to come over to Clocks Off,
he's more than welcome, man. Yeah.
So, you know, we're not trying to, per se, steal anyone from Grudge Inc., but if you decide to come over 2 o'clock off, that is of a free will. That's your own choice. And we more than welcome you over. Like I said, we're trying to do great things here. We see the picture. You know, we're in Chicago. We're trying to get to St. Louis. And right now, we all...
Did I meet you at Ray Lowe's party?
Ray Lowe?
Yeah, I was standing outside the front with a black leather coat on, jacket, right?
No, actually, I end up work. I was mad to that point where I was going to be that day. The owner of my company came up with a trip that I knew nothing about that I had to take, so I ended up working that day. I didn't get back.
Yeah, you're a driver like me. I understand how that goes.
Yeah, I do that any kind of truck driver, man.
Yeah,
but I love it too. Wait. No one tells me when to eat. No one tells me when to stop. I love what I do.
Yeah.
I caught the line for millions and millions. I'd be like Carl Malone. I see a draft truck.
Yeah.
But, you know, what I was saying as far as Grudge Inc. go, I don't know of no one here at Clocks Off to have any beef with Grudge Inc. Here, Gunny started Grudge Inc. to my knowledge. And I don't think he ever beef with Grudge Inc. It's just, you know, somewhere along the line, some of the guys that with Clocks Off now, it just didn't work when it came to whatever the mechanism was at Grudge Inc. So they came over here, and they find that it's working fine. You know,
yeah.
But with that being said,
maybe it could be like the I've been watching racing my entire life. I don't know if y'all used to watch them open wheel American racing, what they used to call IndyCar racing. It used to be kart, and then it split up into the Indy Racing League and kart. It sounds like something like that, but maybe one day in the future they could just mail back into one thing with just all the kinks iron out, maybe. I don't know.
Well, in order to get the kinks iron out and for this thing to become one, you know, that would be between the heads, not between the talk show hosts like myself. My job is just to get in here, man, give you guys the best topic I can give for that week and hope I can do something better the next week. Hopefully you guys can't call in and stomp me too hard with it. To the questions of the courses I have no answers to. And that's my job. And to run this thing the best I possibly can, that we look forward to the next week. I hope that you guys can leave me. And at the time that my show go off, you're going to be like, man, I'd be glad when Saturday come again because I got to ask for a D-Dills or ask for a Larry. That's what I'm here for. As far as a merger between Clocks Off and Grudge Inc., I don't think it would happen, but I wouldn't be
counting
it
out
for the
God
can.
Yeah.
That's strictly for the for the guys at the top. You know, they do what they do, then they tell me about it. And until someone tells me that's happening, all I can do is what I do. I push clocks off. You know, I feel like we're the number one as far as between the two. And I'm sure those guys feel the same. And when it grows, I'm sure he feels like they're number one, you know. So with that being said, you got two horses in the field, and one got that pull of the other. So we are trying to.
Over here. Yep. We got to get
Brother B. We don't go
Brother
out.
B, to... Brother B.
Who else got there? I heard a voice there.
Yeah, that was D.
Your number one guy.
sound like my host there. Sound like my son.
Yeah,
what's
the home slice? That is the home slice, man. I've been so tied up with little kids today. I'm so glad to get on the program.
Okay.
You know, and the reason that I'm glad to get on the program, you know, I want to say hello to all my friends out there.
All right.
In Drag Race World, Radio World. And all the people that I fellowship with, I wanted to come in and I wanted to say hi to everybody. And I also had a little something I wanted to address right quick, D, since I've been on the show. And what I wanted to address was this. We're getting ready to have that show September 6th.
Right.
And we're going to have that that track on Kill this time. We're going to make special because our number one concern, and like we always talk about, D, is safety. So we're going to make sure that we have that track laid all the way down. Ourselves, we want to make sure that it be safe for the guys that's running fast or just anybody that's participating in the event. And I also wanted to address the fact that it was a statement made, and the statement was made that the track was kind of getting bashed a little bit, you know. And my thing with it is this here: if a person is going to bash a track or somebody's home track or something of that nature, I don't think that that's – I really don't think that it's fair. I think that it's – you know, if a person is giving an event, just go ahead on and give the event. Do the same thing we do. You know, we're not trying to bash nobody's track. We're not talking about how people set up whatever way they want to set – how they things set up at their track. We're not doing none of that because we're about the goodwill and the good nature of trying to drag race and enjoy what we're doing and enjoying our lives and fellowshipping with people.
Let me say this here. I want you to continue on what you're saying because I'm kind of I'm short minded. I think of something that'll sit in my mind real quick. Let me say this here. I don't care how you put a show on. You do your that level best for things to run the way you had proclaimed them to be and planned them to be. But at some point, some things will, can, and do because we live under Murphy's Law. They get off track of what you had planned. You know, we had a guy called in and he bashed Big Sham for the way this show went down. And I've said time and time again, I think it was a beautiful show, a great show. I think the outcome, the turnout and all that came out great. Looking for it to be better at each show he gives. But Big Sham and Bruce can only give you a place to do what you love to do, and that's race. Once we give that to you, the next thing for them to do is give you a safe place to do what you do and love to do. Now, with those two being said, they can get out the way because the rest is up to you being the racer to do what you love to do. That's race.
Yep, and Gang got down and Cal City Cal got down.
They can't force you to race, but they can pay you to race, but I don't think they're going to do that. I don't think they're going to pay you to race. What they will do is that they will do exactly what they said they would do. That is, if they run a shootout and they said a shootout, they want to go win, whether it be $1 or $20,000, whatever they said he would win, I guarantee Mo told you at the end of that shootout, who would win, going to get that money, whatever the payout should have been. Now, those are things that the host of the shootout does, can, and do, and will do. Give you a safe place, give you a place to race, give you a safe place to run, and run it according to what they said they would do. It boils down to the races, whether they go by and do according to what they said their program was going to be about. So what am I saying? Let me clear this up for you. If they, being Big Sham and Bruce, says we need 10 cars or more to be in a shootout in order for it to pay off a $5,000 payout. If we only get three cars in a shootout, we can't run that shootout.
Right.
That's not Big Shane's fault. That's not Bruce's fault. That's the fake racist fault that says they want to run a shootout and don't come to run the shootout. If we said we're going to have a big wheel race and no one bring their kid with a big wheel to run the race, it's not Sam and Bruce's fault that they didn't have the big wheel shootout. No one brought their kids to run. If Kwame bring his son's big wheel, and I choose not to bring mine, then all he got to do is go to the stage and mean, when he get there, if no one come in to challenge him, he's going to make a solo blast and get paid that money. I guarantee you Big Sham and Leroy are going to pay that money off. That's their job. They did their job. The rest
mine was,
of the race.
Mine was my first race car. What y'all talking about?
I have a knot in my head. I have a knot in my my finger right now from where I made one, man, and it got to go out so fast I wanted to stop it. I really had no brakes. So next thing I did, I tried to grab the wheel with my hand, and the wheel ran up my arm and slid my hand down the wheel probably half a block. Tore all the skin out of it. And every time I look at that net, I think about that.
Damn.
But, you know, it's all in fun, man. We had fun then. We had fun that day. And I'm sure we're going to have even greater time at the next show. Now, with that being said, I'm gonna let my partner get back to what he was saying. Hopefully he don't do like I do, forget what he want to say, and let him continue on what he was saying there. Bill Aaron. He may have stepped away. He normally having grandkids on the weekend, and he's a big family man, so he may have stepped away from him. I'm sure he'll come back to us in a minute. But what you were saying, brother, as we was talking, you know, we at Clock South, we don't have anything against Grudge Inc. And I don't think Grudge Inc. has anything against us. It just made the best man win. That's how I look at it, you know.
Yeah.
In other words, best man.
Well, I know that's the Clock South attitude. I know that's the Clock South take. And you're right about Grudge Inc. I don't think they got nothing against Clock South either. Just they might disagree on the foundation of Clocks Off, the purpose of the foundation of Clocks Off, they might disagree with, but as far as like beef or whatever, I don't think that exists.
I haven't heard anything. Like I said, I frequent shows every night. Not one time have Gunny or Leroy called me and said, listen, you with Clocks Off now, you can't call or you can't be called or you shouldn't be calling the Clocks Off shows and talking on their show. Hell, I was on BET show Wednesday. You know,
yeah, I hear you on a lot of shows. That's what I mean.
Yes, I've had anyone from Clock South offices, the head of the office. I've had anyone, the president, the vice president, the treasurer. I have had any of those guys call me and say, hey, brother, you can't be doing it because you bought the Clock Off. Not the first guy have called me. So until I get that call, I can only say we have nothing against Clock Off. I mean, against Grudge Inc. I'm sorry. I am Clock Off. I'm part of ClocksOff.com. Let's not forget that. Bro, D and Larry, ClocksOff.com. I haven't had anyone from ClocksOff to call my phone. They all have my number to call me and say you can't be calling those guys' shows, or even to say you shouldn't be calling those guys' shows, or even to say if you're going to call, you should hit the one button and talk. I've had not one time I've had those statements been made to me. So until I hear a statement of that magnitude, I can only say Clocks Off have nothing against grudging, nothing at all.
Might be able to lock up some talking to them.
We want to beat them out on all costs. We want to outdo them in every way that we possibly can. If they sell 20,000 fans, we want to sell 21,000. You know, we definitely want to do that. If they put up Tony Bynes in the ring, we want to put Donye in the ring. If they put Wick in the ring, we want to put Leroy in the ring. We want to have something put in the ring against whatever they throw at us. If they want to foot raise someone, we won't have to do a foot
skin.
I'm
not raise whatever.
Foot raise.
Just want to make it good, man. We want to make it good, man, because that's what it's all about. We want to make it good. We want to put everything on equal, even terms. Otherwise, we could have been and come back, but we want to put things on equal terms, you know, according to what we do and what we're doing. You know, and that's the thing. We want to make sure that our fans are satisfied. That's our number one. That's our number one goal, to make sure after safety, after we make sure, we want to make sure that our fans are satisfied.
And we're going to go to every exchange. That's why I came on the show and I started mentioning about the fact of the matter that that track will be on Kill.
Yeah.
Ain't no ifs, ands, and buts about it. No, whatever changes that we got to make, we're going to make them changes for our event now. If somebody else has an event there, whatever they do, that'll be on them. But we're speaking specifically of Clark's Hoff. That's what we're going to do. We're going to make sure it be right. And the only thing we want to do, since we're going through these extensive measures, we want to make sure that we have a pro mat laid for the racers. And when y'all come in, we're going to leave that up to y'all to get out.
Okay.
You know, cause we're going to make it good. Ain't no doubt about that.
Yeah, I ride with Terrell, by the way. Just to let you, just to put that out there. I'm part of that crew.
Mr. D, them little kids had me stretched out for that back-to-school block party, man. They had me stretched out. I'm coming on my show so late, man, I'm telling you.
Hey,
I knew
man.
You was going to take care of things, you know, but it was just the fact of the matter that I generally don't like to,
yeah.
to overload myself like that, but sometimes it happens, you know, but,
right.
man,
well,
I hate that.
You feel good, though, don't you? You feel good, don't you? You feel good?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah,
you know why I was feel? You know why I feel so good? I feel good because I was surrounded by nothing but love, man. Them
that's
kids
right.
didn't show me nothing but love, and I turn around and give them the same thing back. Yeah.
It was funny you said, man, because I was saying at the beginning of the show, I said, yo, I'm normally coming in late myself on my own show. I'd be in that truck, and today
mm-hmm.
is the day. You know what? I'm gonna work tonight, but it's gonna be after 12 to start.
Well, see, I'm aware of that, and a lot of time I like to be there. On time because of the simple fact that a lot of times you be taking care of your business, you know, and when you're doing that, I try to fill in for you as well as you fill in for me.
Jeff, right. I didn't work today. I'm going to work mm-hmm. tonight after the show, and you was late, so things work out just right. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you know, one thing we can't forget,
yeah,
we can talk about
fine.
Drag racing, we can talk about fellowship, and we can talk anytime we want to, but we can't never forget that great guy in the sky. You know,
amen.
He things
amen,
work out, man.
Amen.
He makes things
well,
work out all the time.
Check this out. Check this out here, man. I have a tendency to tell people all the time, whatever we do in this world, I can always fashion it to my Bible. And the Bible says that all things work for the good, for those that do what? Love the Lord. So if you have the love of Christ within you, all things will work good. And tonight just shows you, any other Saturday, I'd have been in that truck. The very night that I didn't get in the truck, the very day that I'm not in the truck running late, is the very day that you was running late. So it ended up working out just right, and I still just got to show on time.
Uh-huh.
It just works.
Yeah.
It just works.
Yeah, you have your own authority, too, don't you, though?
I have my authority, but it's not active now, no.
Oh,
actually, I had five truckers at one time, but I'm running with another company called Power Cottage right now.
Okay.
As long as they let me do what I'm doing, I'm fine.
Because I remember, I can't forget, since both of y'all are on the phone, one time I called when I was out with Night Refrigerated, and I was up in around Shippensburg, Pennsylvania, at a QT or a TA truck stop, and I called in. And I remember I called in right on time, but the show didn't start yet, and it was Cadillac show. I think it was Friday on Cadillac show. And then I forgot to talk, and Cadillac was like, who this? And I was like, whoa. I was like, it's Kareem. He was like, oh, okay. And then D got on, and I was like, yeah, I'm in Pennsylvania. And he was like, hold on, we got somebody from Pennsylvania calling. I was like, no, I'm from Chicago, but I'm in Pennsylvania. So I know how the industry is and working and the time about our industry.
You know, driving can be. I just kind of got loose this week. He just got his license. Like I told him, man, truck driving not for everybody. You know,
no, it's not. Oh, it's not. Especially, I mean, it ain't even for a professional like me. Depend on how they do you, man. They can be
wrong company and get a sour stomach being truck driving. It's not for everybody. But hold on, Kareem, I got a question. My coach gonna come in. I'm gonna ask him since he was late coming in. Brother Larry, are you there? Brother Larry, are you there? Is Brother Larry
here with you?
Okay.
Yeah, D.
Talk to me.
You need some help, D.
Who I got there?
This Cadillac, man.
I want to
I thought I heard you call my name.
I'm going to ask Larry. I want him to answer the question at hand that you, Gawan, had answered earlier. I didn't get a chance to hit him. I'm going to ask my man here. But Larry, there was a race locked in between Tony Bynes and Danier. Tony said his only stiff is that the race is locked in only if his car comes through the gate. My question is, do you think that Rambo is coming through the gate? Well, Larry, yeah?
How about we call him and ask?
So we call him and ask, is he coming? Well, if we call Tony and ask him, we know without a doubt Tony going to say, well, if my car is ready, I'm coming through the gate. But in reality, we're not going to deal with fakeism. We're going to deal with reality. And in reality, is it really coming through that gate? I myself personally wants to be there to see.
Yeah, me too. Me too. In fact, quiet as kept, before they even got put against each other, when I first saw Rambo, when he first put it out, I was like, he should race Danye. And I was putting that all on my Facebook. Next thing I know, they done met. He done went to the north versus south, brought his car, called him out on video and everything. So it's a matter of time. It's just a matter of time.
Now, let me say this, Quan. Check this out now. He brought Rambo, I believe, to Cordova. But, come here. But the thing is that they said he...
I'm listening.
Okay, no, my grandbaby was coming in. That was questioning me about something. The thing is that now, he brought the car. But the statement was made was that Danye made a shakedown. Tony Bynes taking it, not riding it loose. No one really knows but Tony. But Tony says it broke, but no one seen where it was broken. I don't know if he didn't show anyone. I just said, you know, the last time when something happened to a car, in this thing we call grudge racing, and the race don't take place, of course, the person that's not prepared or can't race or won, he's going to get ragged on. That's just part of racing, you know.
Yeah.
That's just part of this grudge racing thing that we love to do so much. He's definitely going to get ragged on. So with Tony not running that race, of course, he's going to get the deep end of the stick. But in reality, the real deal is that get the tight right in break, only Tony know. Is he going to come through that gate? Only Tony know.
I think I personally, just from watching his latest developments, I've been following him to the minute, you know, what's going on with it. I think and if and until he's confident in his car and Rambo to be able to handle Fade to Black, I think that's why, until he feels like it's a match or better, until he get that confidence, it's just in the air. That's what I think. I'm just watching. And I could be wrong.
I think that's a good way to look at it, but what is it going to take to give him that confidence?
I done seen Danye's car run too many times, and I done seen Rambo, and Rambo just ain't there. It's almost there. It's getting there now. In fact, the last run was pretty good, actually, but it's just to be secure to be there yet. He's probably just waiting for it to be there where, yeah, okay, I can hang with him. Because he knows before then it was slower. I mean, I can tell you that. It was slower. But now he working on it.
When you say he's working on it, you mean he's working on Rambo?
Yeah. It ain't no cold killer, that's for damn sure. But he's trying to get it up there to be there so he can run with him.
Well, cold killer sold his car, so his car's not going.
Really? Why he had just a month ago, he had both of them, his thing and them running side by side in his backyard.
I'm sure Killer gonna race, but right now his car is down. He sold his car.
Oh, wait! On Chris Tootin, yeah, Chris Tootin drove it. I'm thinking of Chris. He had them both in his backyard running just about 2 months ago. Yeah, I don't know if he might. I guess he sold it, but what did Chris buy it from him or what?
I think one of the guys from Motor City Mafia bought the car. I'm not for sure. I've never really got into the full in and outs on how that car was sold.
I keep getting a text here saying my brother Big Drag is on, but I haven't heard him. Drag, if you out there, holler. How you hear him holler at me? And maybe he can tell you more about that than I can myself.
He'll probably chime in a second.
Yeah. But I kind of think one of the guys from Motor City Mafia bought that car. I'm not really sure. But that's what I'm thinking. But, hey, bro, Larry, you there?
You know I'm here, dude.
Okay, I need you to do something for me, Vlad. I'm about to do something here. I need you to hold it down for me a minute. I got a piece of paper I got to grab. And I got a quiet from Greg here down. So when I quiet
you,
Greg.
I'll hold it down for you while you're doing what you're doing. You held it for me. Fair exchange ain't no robbery, bro. I got you.
Appreciate that, brother.
Who we got on the show you was talking to?
Kareem and Cadillac.
Oh, sure, Kareem. Okay.
Yeah, I'm with Terrell myself. I'm with the and Kevin.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, I'm not in person with him, but
I'm trying to make it good, man. You know, and the thing with making it good,
that's
man, we just have to put some blusters in it. So, you know, that's our reason for getting together and unionizing so we can turn around and try to make things better, you know, because of the simple fact that when you turn around and you put your effort into something, you look for a good outcome to come out of it because you don't have to put no effort into something for a negative outcome to come out of it. You know, it don't take no energy for that. That's easy to do. But you have to expand some energy to make something good come from something, you know. And we just want to make it good, man. We want y'all to come and enjoy yourselves, man. We want it to be safe. And we want to have us some fun, you know.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
That's my thing. Terrell know. You know.
Oh, yeah, I know he know.
No, that's my man, 100 grand, you know.
Hey, Bill, I believe you got Big Drag on the air now. Rick, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Lord. What's going on?
Hey, now,
Big. Hey, got a question for you while I got you. Hopefully you're in a good spot. You talking. Did you make it to Bobby Show?
I'm in Memphis right now. I'm about 30 miles from my house, Springs. We ain't going to the show until tomorrow.
Oh, okay. I was thinking of today.
And you ain't playing around either. You already in Memphis, Dre?
Oh, we've been here, man. We left this morning. I had to go to St. Louis and sell some parts and stuff and make a couple of deals. So I don't know. I'm done with all that.
Well, you coming out, you actually come on, Rick, at a perfect time. I tell you why I said that. I made a statement earlier. I said we're going to do a little pop quiz. I'm going to ask a question. And it's getting close to that time. And whoever can answer that question for me is going to win the world-renowned Fox Off T-shirt. And if you guys know like I know, your wives, your girls, and you like mine, you can take it as a pair of pajamas. Let me know if I can send you guys a full episode.
Hey, Lo, I don't hear you too good, man.
Okay. I say I'm about to do a little pop question here. And the question...
Somebody got background noise, Lo.
Yeah, someone got a mic over there. I don't know who it is. Whoever it is got a mic over there, can you please kind of quiet it down for me? Whoever got that background noise. Can you hear me now, Rick?
Yeah, they cut it off. That's good.
Yeah. Okay, we're gonna pop a question here, and the question that I'm gonna ask, I really wanted to let you to answer the question, but if one of you guys do answer this question, you're gonna wear the Clocks Off T-shirt. And let us know before we ship this shirt, man. It's great quality. It's a beautiful shirt. You did a beautiful, fantastic job on the making of it. But let us know before we ship it so we'll know if your wife's going to be like mine. That is, take it to a pair of pajamas, and I'll send you a 4X. So at this moment, right about now, we're about to hit the Grudge Racing World, the Clock Off World, with a question. The question at hand is that, can anyone out there tell me what the chick was in 1972?
Say that again, D. I couldn't. Your phone was breaking up.
I want someone out there to tell me how much money they think Grumpy Jenkins won drag racing in 1972.
Oh,
I wasn't alive then, so I have no idea.
Gotta go internet and stuff.
I know, I know, I know, I know,
who
I know.
Who I got there? Who I got there?
Man, you got the one and only, man, the Lack Cadillac. I'm going to put the record down, man.
What you think
he made? $500,000. He made $250,000.
$250,000. Cadillac close. Huh? Not quite, but he's close. He's not there. He's close. He's somewhere.
300? 300?
Still have a chance to win.
300?
200? 500? I can't hear one at a time now. How much did Grumpy Diggins win in 1972 drag racing?
Korea is asking, was it 300?
It's 200, D.
How much?
200, D.
Who said 200?
300.
Three Lug is the winner, ladies and gentlemen. Grumpy won.
Hey, Lowrider, don't send him no shirt. He stole one in Martin, Michigan. He got this already. Hey, Lowrider, I know you stay there. You better see my damn shirt. Don't send that nigga no shirt. I'm sorry, y'all. Don't send that Negro no shirt, man. He stole one when Gunner had a back turn. Hey, give you that shirt, nigga. Give you, nigga.
Yeah, y'all can keep that.
Hey, D. It's man by word and word by manhood. So if you win, you must get it.
I need a 5X, D.
We got you. 5X.
He want a hunter talk. No, I want for my son. My son, he want a medium. No, he want a medium.
You want a medium? Okay, you get a medium then. Now, for those that didn't get in at that moment, I'm going to ask another trivia question in this second half of the show. Okay. And whoever gets that right will also win a Clock Off T-shirt courtesy of ClockOff.com. And you have Mr. Gunny and Bruce Lee ready. Thanks for that we're able to get these gifts way at this time. It'll get greater later. We signed out with T-shirts today. Who knows what tomorrow might bring next time.
Might get you a replacement pro stock or something.
Yes, mate.
Hey, I'll take yours, Greg.
You don't want to. You can't mine home in your pocket.
Hey, Rick, I got you a still on the air, I'm going to ask you guys a question that I asked earlier. I asked the brother I have on there earlier. Tony Bass locked in a race with Kanye.
Uh-huh.
I'm taking a closer. I want to see who believe in and who believe not. And the Rays had one stiff from Tony. He says if he show up in Maryland and his car come through the gate, it's locked right then. I asked the question, do you think he's going to bring Rambo through the gate?
I think Tony know that he's going to have a tough race with Donnie, but I definitely don't believe that he's scared. No doubt about it.
That's just what I said.
And for those that think that he's just sitting around waiting to run, they got another thing coming. Tony's smart enough to know that Donnie done upgraded, and he's running real good, or he's got a program together. Maybe he didn't upgrade, so don't think that I'm trying to say he changed anything. But what I'm saying is that he got everything working good. And Tony gonna be right when he come. I'm gonna tell you that it ain't gonna be no cakewalk. If I had to bet, I would bet with Donnier because he's from the north. But it ain't gonna be nothing sweet.
Right, because if it was, the race would have been done already, and Tony would have lost. That's why he ain't racing.
Tony had a problem. He had a problem at Cordova, bro. I was right there. I seen it. Now, was it self-inflicted? I don't know. But he did have an issue. I think the issue.
What was the issue? Tell right in, Rick.
Yeah, that thing was all twisted up bad. They couldn't even, they had to jack it up to spin it around.
Okay, the question that hangs to that is that, was that the tire right in he came to the gate with? Or that the wood he had in his back pocket just in case Daniel ran too fast?
I don't know, but. It was visible. I seen it, and I tell you what, he gonna come to run now. He's gonna definitely come to run. So
And so I heard somebody say earlier, don't give him time to change motors. Why not? I mean, it's his car. It's his car. He should be able to put his best in there. I guarantee you, Donnie ain't got his best in there.
So mm-hmm.
Tony should put his best in there. You know, if he got to go beg, borrow, steal one, just be right when he comes. That's my answer.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta do what you gotta do. I remember the time we changed motors. Hold on a second, guys. Let me get that structure. I was saying, I remember the time we changed motors overnight. You know, we locked in the run Thursday night, and Friday night we was a whole total different car.
What you about, Tony's car?
I'm talking about me.
Oh, okay.
So that's Tony's prerogative. If he feels that if he got something better that's going to make it run a little harder, then by all means, I think he should change.
Oh, yeah. Well, that man's just Rick. I want through that damn different for me. I don't want Rick to answer. I want through that damn different.
Hey, let me give you the phone because we out the truck. We had you on the stereo system in the truck. Hold on, let me.
Okay. I want Trey to chime in on this.
Oh, pick up the phone. D want to talk to you.
I want Trey to chime in on this one. I see one thing about Trey, I can tell you right now, he's not going to sugarcoat it, guys. He's going to give it to you point blank.
Yeah.
He don't know how to sugarcoat that.
Go on, little Adam.
Trey, I want you to ask this question here. The question I want you to ask is that, do you think paying this if we lock up 200 or 2,000, and I come in and I say, well, Trey just ran 850, and I know I can only run 920. I feel the pay he just made was 850 pay. Do you think I'm getting off the hook too easy by paying that lockup officer out to run that raise if I lock it in my car and I broke?
Shit, I pay lockup money out here.
You're thinking something about him then, go off. Look at him
now. You don't think I'm getting off too easy by paying that lockup officer?
You know they'd be on
but, hey, you want my opinion? Do you want my opinion? The damn fool I am? You had to show me you can run that 850.
That's
show me.
That's why I asked the question. Do you think it's getting off too easy by letting them pay this lockup off? If your car is not broke, shit, you have to run that race or pay the whole pot out.
Hey, it's like this here, D. So a lot of people get put in them blenders, put their pride in their face. No, they can't whoop you no way. They've been in these talk shows. They put their feet in their mouth. They lock you in, and they hoping before the race comes, your car breaks or something.
But
yes, it should be their pride.
Well, that's the reason I said instead of paying the whole pot off, instead of paying the lockup off.
Right.
You'll stop all that. Because, I told them earlier, you know, back in the 80s and 70s and going backwards, we call it grudge racing today. But in actuality, NHRA called it match racing. And if Ricky Smith was to run Bill Goodman, and he felt like Glenn was faster than he was, he couldn't go over there and tell Glenn, well, I'm going to need this $10,000 as opposed to losing $100,000. He had to run for that money.
So what did he do? People got to get $200,000. Okay, they know you get that $200 lock of money off. Because if you go to track and shut down, you're too fast for it, they'll pay that $200 off. You start making them lock in $2,500 or $2,000, they ain't going to pay that. Yeah,
that's why I asked the question, should they be
hello?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Clee, look.
Yeah.
Right. Let me ask you a general question. The general question I want to ask you this. Do you think the fans would appreciate it more if they seen that a person break a drive shaft or an axle or something and see punk out being paid more so than a person seeing another person that's too quick for him or something of that nature and paying the punk out money?
Repeat that again, Larry. I took my cold.
Okay, what I was saying was, do you think that the fans would be more acceptable to them if they seen where it was obvious that something happened to somebody's automobile and then a person pay punk out money, rather than a person seeing that a person is too quick for them, and then they beat in trouble and came out there just to see them pay punk out money.
Yeah, that's why I think he's ready to run that risk. See, like our friends, I use this guy quite often. I was really hoping to get with him today. I'm probably going to try to get to my brother, and we might get out of here tonight, too. Wick, perfect example. If Wick book a race with you, and the guys in his crew might feel like you too strong for him. Once that man's locked in, he gonna race. He ain't too quick to go take no punk out of him. You know, he just ain't gonna do it. He gonna race.
Mm-hmm.
Tony Bass ain't too quick to take no punk out of him. But he will. So I think if a person lock in that race and then you go make a straight down run and they feel like you too strong for him now, I won't pay you right off after losing 2,000. You should be forced to run that race. Your car now broke.
Yeah.
You probably
should have to get, lock in. People got to start locking in more than 2,300 and make a person lock in 2,2500 and they can't back out of it.
They can't back out of it. That's my point, sir. That's exactly what I'm getting at. They can't back out of it then. If I know I'm going to lose 2,000, I ain't going to be in there early to back out that race. I'm just going to run that race and hope something happens with your car. Hope you don't get hurt, but hope something happens. If I can pay $200 off, yeah. Everybody my crew give me $10 a piece and we pay it off. Nobody lost nothing.
Yeah, last night.
You know? So I just think a person should have to run that race. Just pay that park out offer and walk away. I don't think you're right. Hey, look at Trey, while I got y'all guys on there, man. Do you know if anybody locked in to do any grudge raising out at Bobby's show? Were you on your way there?
Bobby locked in to run Tony Bynes and some guys from Greenville before we locked in to run Wick.
Well, Candy Kane?
I don't know which car. He didn't say which car. He said they locked in to run Wick and Bobby Cole locked in to run Tony Bynes.
Okay, so we got two lock-ins there that's going to take place there. I'm pretty sure both of them are
right. You know, I'm going to try to put somebody on my fish.
You got your car with you?
You know I do. I ain't going over that no car. I got oil pressure.
You got oil pressure? And if Trey got oil pressure, somebody's going to have trouble.
Somebody's
going to have trouble.
You
really need to put
yourself from the
cold.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to talk to my brother after my show. We might be able to cut out of here tonight. I really want to do one of them. I'll be missing Bobby's show, and I'll be missing Wild Child.
Hey, D, I get back. I'm going to the Grove. Corey Lee got some white boy with a Mustang. Supposed to give me the break at the Grove Wednesday. So I'm going to knock him in his head and I get back here Wednesday.
Tell D I said, what's up?
Mike said, what's up, D?
Tell Mike, it's hurt time. It's hurt time.
He
got to get better. Tell him he's got to get better. Tell Mike don't call my name as I see him at the track.
Hey, you might get over.
Hey,
y'all, this Negro talking about get over. Can't get over. He lost his damn bus. Hey, y'all. Hey, man. See, hey, we might have to take him to the gay bar or something.
Oh, man, that job out for the gay bar. Hey, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Who you think going to win that race between Tony and Bobby?
Between Tony and Bobby?
Yeah. How you think that's going to go?
I can better tell you tomorrow. When I take a look at the hits.
Now, what time is my run then with the Memphis game?
They got a Mustang. I've
got another car. Is that the Memphis Gangster, though?
Huh?
Is that the Memphis Gangster?
Is that the what, D?
I said it's not going to be the Memphis Gangster.
I don't know what car he called the Memphis Gangster.
I think he got a Mustang he called the Memphis Gangster.
Is it black? Are you saying it's
cold? I think it's black.
That one car that I seen is black. All black. It looks good now.
But you know, the biggest thing about them cars, who can get them down the track the best?
Right.
You know, they running on them little tires, so.
What car Tony gonna have? Rambo?
I think Tony bring a Rambo.
Now you know, I'm gonna show you something. And watch this here. If Tony bring a Rambo, Memphis Gates is gonna run. What's that put Daye? That's really putting him in the mix.
I think Daye can outrun both of them.
He can. Hey,
Daye got his stuff in order now, but he ain't getting much. Back when his stuff wasn't together, he was getting action left to rush. If I was him, I would have been waiting.
He tried. The car's running astronomically good. He's doing that. He's definitely running good. We seem to be having a technical difficulty here right now, ladies and gentlemen. But somewhere, somehow, we'll get it straight in a minute and get these lines back open. I don't know if you guys can hear me or not. I hear a little static, and that's about all. But that with me, man, we'll get the thing back straight. I don't know what the problem might be. I'm not apt to play with these phone lines that good, but I got a great producer that knows what he's doing and get things done pretty apt and pretty quick. So just bear with me. If your call drop, whatever the case might be, just hang up and call them right back, and we'll get you back open as quick as we possibly can. Well, Larry, can you hear me?
I'm on the line.
Yeah, okay. I don't know. We had a little difficulty with Rick. But Larry, you there? I got Quan here. You there, Larry?
Okay.
Yeah, I got okay. It's slow to come back in. I got the world's greatest producer here, man. He's astronomically good with a thing they call a computer, so we have problems. I don't be down long before he get me back up and running. But like I was saying to Rick earlier, he feel like I feel. I think Donnie will whoop them both. But I really wish that he didn't run the Memphis Gangster so fast, considering just on the strength of what it's supposed to be. You know, you can wreck yourself with these cars real quick to where you really hurt yourself in action, especially when you hadn't been getting action or you were getting action because you were down or not performing up to your capabilities. Now when your car starts performing the way you know it should have been all the time, you know, you can easily get ranked and knock yourself out of some real good race that you could have gotten off of just running one race or even losing one race, but losing to the wrong person at the right time can really hurt you as far as, you know, future races. So you, in this day and age, it's a hustle, you know, bustle world. You got to be careful who you run first, second, and third. And you got to be able to pick according and pick carefully. I feel like that. You got to pick very carefully with the racing. Michael Fields had two tackles. I don't want to speak on him. But you got to be very careful who you run first. And he's an open book right now, guys. Like, you know, Rick was saying, his stuff is working good, running good, he's driving good. And he's willing to take on any and everybody that come along right now. But I just hope you take them in the order he want to take them in and get them all. You know, no cow said let's run down there and knock one off. No bull let's walk down there and knock them all off. So I really hope he just walk up on him instead of running up on him because he represents the North. And like I said, my man earlier, we don't have anything against Grudge. He got his side, but we want to whoop their ass every chance we get. Now, after we get off the racetrack, we back being friends, buddies, brothers. On that racetrack. You know, you know, Rick?
Can you hear me, Lowe?
Yeah, I got you. Go ahead.
Huh?
I got you. Go ahead. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. I'm watching Petey. Yeah. Petey and Three Lugs over there wrestling.
Father said,
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I stole that song on Pillow.
But when you lose, everybody's taking their loss in stride. Nobody's angry. All you want to do is go back, fix whatever's wrong with the guy. Like I said earlier, everybody's going to write down Tony, myself and anyone else that has what he talks to, because he didn't run the race. You know, if his tie right in broke, he can't control that. Of course, first thing we're going to say is he took it loose. We're going to say it wasn't broke. That's just a natural thing to say, a common thing to say when you want to see a race. We want to see that race take place. I don't believe he's going to bring the car through the gate. You know, I just don't. I don't think he's prepared to run down here yet. Prepared to run down here just yet. You know, a lot of them out there don't think it, and quite a few of them know that they're not prepared to run down here yet. Matter of fact, didn't they lock in with Tony Wright? There's someone out there. Can they give him some clarification there? I think I heard that Danny locked in with Tony Wright. Hmm. And Tony Wright, and I don't think he feel like he can whoop Danny. I think he just going to run. But that's Tony Wright. He a race. You know. But if anyone out there that really knew if that's a locked-in race, now hit me up and let me know. I really would like to know the inside out on that, because I truly don't have it. It's going on what I think right now. So, well, Larry, you there? Are you having technical difficulties with this mic again?
I was on mute. I always try to put my phone on mute when y'all talking, so there don't be no background noise at all.
Yeah. Do you know, Bro Larry, is he really locked in with Tony Wright? I heard that somewhere.
You say, is who locked in?
I heard that Danny was locked in with Tony Wright.
Yeah, he locked in with Tony Wright.
Oh, yeah. So it is true then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think it's for the Maryland race.
For the Maryland race, right.
Mm-hmm.
Someone texted me and said that to me. I don't really know who it was. But someone texted me and told me he was locked in to run the race, to run Tony Wright. How you think that's gonna go there?
Well, I like Danye, you know, and I like Danye because I support him. He's one of the guys from the Midwest also, as well as being a close associate of mine, him and June and Scandalous. I call him Scandalous.
Scandalous.
That's my boy, no way. That's my boy.
Yeah, my man too.
You know, they got their program working, you know, and when the thing come together, man, you know, it don't make you invincible, but it makes you do better, you know, and I think that he's going to do much better for the rest of this year than he did last year, you know, and support him, hook or crook.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I support him, hook or crook. Okay. You know, and the reason I say that, it goes back to what I said a long time ago, Brud D. You know, once these guys up here make their mind up to go on and do what they do, they can do it well, you know. And a whole lot of things is going to change. You know, it's just a matter of time.
Okay. Yeah, I think you got a good point there, Larry. It's just a matter of time to give me cars. Yeah, I said before and I say again, man, there's a lot of guys here, like Three Love, for example. He got his car with him now. You know, his car's just not coming together fine. And he's still bug picking, you know. He still needs some test and tuning. Trey just a damn fool. If he halfway together, he going to race somebody. You know, if he just halfway together. But he just got the car together. And there's a lot of picking and testing and tuning that he can do, need to do, and should do. But Trey going to do it on someone he is. You know, he gonna race somebody. So what am I saying? All year long, the North was knocked and kicked and knocked and kicked because the cars wasn't ready, though. You just can't race if your car is not ready to race. Some of these guys didn't even have engines in their cars. That's what I'm talking about, getting down the track. But now that it's late, we know it's late in the season, but now they're starting to come together.
If he got his car together, he got it running, he gonna race. It ain't nothing else for him to talk about.
Yeah,
he's gonna race. Ain't no doubt about that. I ain't just started knowing Three Love. Three Love is gonna race. Anybody think he ain't gonna race? You got to be something wrong with him because he's sure going to go. He's going to go now. All right, now. And ain't no ifs, ands, or no buts in my mind. No doubt in my mind about it at all. That's what he do. That's what he loves doing.
I'm back on, D.
Yeah. You know, we were just saying, Rick, that the nuts got ran on kind of heavy, you know, early in the year because cars just weren't ready. And when your car's not ready, man, your car's just not ready. One of our main guys in there right now, Bruce Leroy, man, his car's just not ready right now. I mean, this man is class havoc when he's ready for racing. He's the class havoc. But we got one guy that's got his car with him right now. Yellow Fever, Trey Love. And I was just telling the guys, man, Trey's car is still in the testing and fine-tuning stages. But he wants to race so bad. And he's just a down-hot racer.
He's going to run now. He's going to run. We got got a good run on Wednesday night. You know what I'm saying? We still trying stuff, but we got a good enough run off to go try to do a little something, maybe.
Right. That's what I just said. He's going to try a lot of his testing, too. He's going to be on someone's head. You know, win or lose, he's just going to race. And that's what a lot of guys didn't quite understand and was willing to accept early in life, or not early in life, early in the year. It wasn't that the guys up here wasn't trying to give or not wanting to go. Frankly, every hell hitter we have here, to use BET word for it, is most definitely trained to kill because it was born to kill. They was mostly birthed into racing. You know, their dad was raised, their uncle was raised, they grew up in this thing. Perfect example, Preacher Boy. Now, they can feel they want about him, but his dad was raised, his uncle raised. So when he came along, all he seen for a sport was what? Drag racing.
Yeah.
It's not that these guys don't want to race. They just wasn't ready. And he'll lay in the seat and try these cars together. And man, it's gonna close out pretty good. I think they're gonna close the season out pretty doggone good.
Oh yeah, we're gonna have a good ending, that's for sure, because there's a lot of people that's just not getting ready, you know. Even me, I'm racing a little bit, you know, got two cars that's ready. So it's gonna be some stuff going on here shortly.
And you still in the testing stage the big four. Yeah,
the Ford got 5 hits on it, man, 6 hits on it. But I mean, unfortunately for us, that you know, it kind of run good right off. So I mean, we ain't struggling with it, you know. But there's definitely room for improvement.
Right. I just think if we could throw Pokey in there, if we could throw Leroy in there. You know, I would like to see what our chances would be to do a sweep of the South with the big Ford, and I would like to take them cars to the South and see just what our chances would be of coming back here victorious.
Yeah. Well, see, the difference is that we can't go to the South and race them. Me and Three Lugs, we not 8-mile racers. You know, we race quarter mile. And them dudes ain't gonna want to run a quarter mile in the South. So that poses a problem right there.
Mm-hmm.
Now when we come south, we'll run 8 mile because we on their turf. You know, when in Rome, do what the Romans do.
Yeah.
But you know, when you over by us, we gonna run a quarter mile.
Well, you know, that goes again, Rick, what we were saying several times this year, we've said it, and I still say the same thing. You know, we were born and bred. Our backs were broke in and broke all around and about out the back door. That's what we know to do. My machine is him and I have debated this several times, you know. I know he's very knowledgeable in what he do, but I just see it a little different, you know, than what a lot of guys do. 8 mile, a lot of guys see it. It's easy on a car. I don't see it being easy on a car.
I would have to agree with that, D, because you know you're only running a half a track. You know, there's a possibility something else could happen the other half of the track. You know, my car didn't. What happened to my car didn't happen till the back half of the track.
Look, okay.
Now that's one. That see, that's one point for running the eighth. But now, look at the second half of that. You bringing in everything in twice as fast. It's hard pressed to find somewhere out of grudge raising today that's not using nitrous, a supercharger, a turbocharger, some form of an additive to go with all this horsepower we already put down with these.
Yeah.
Now, so you making it come in twice as fast, which means it's hitting twice as hard. And with that being said, I just don't see it being safer because of that fact alone. Well, if I was running a three-stage nitrous kit, my last stage is coming on where? 800, 900-foot mark? As it were, now I'm trying to put a three-stage down in the eighth of a threat, which I only got 660 feet. So I'm really dividing with every 220 feet I want to kick in.
AD, they got that stuff on way for 200 feet, all of them's on. Them boys got their nitrous on 2 seconds into the run.
Hey, look, that's my whole point. That's exactly what I'm getting at. You bring yourself in twice as fast.
Yeah.
And another thing, you're trying to do it on a bicycle tire. So, you know, I always have, and I guess I always will make a difference with that.
Well, that's because you come up in old school, you know, era. And so did I, but, you know, that's just, you know, I mean, this is the new thing. This is what they're doing. It's just like when we was young, you know, we used to wear bell bottoms and long collar shirts and all that stuff, man, you know, but we don't wear that stuff no more. You know, the things are changing. Things are changing racing for them guys, too, you know. Not that I dislike it. It's just not, you know, it's just not my style. I'm used to racing a certain way, and I'm stuck in that way, and I don't want to change, you know. I will run 8th mile if I have to, but if I had the choice to run the 2, it would be a quarter mile.
Yeah. I'm with you. And not that I won't change, but I will. Now, see, take me, perfect example. This time next year, I'll be the race. I'm back
mm-hmm.
to
this. You're going to race?
Speed it up.
You're going to race your Buick?
Yes, they don't make nothing else for me.
Okay, I got one too
myself. Here's the thing with me, and Rick will tell you this: the guys in the south, I'm going to have to let them look under the hood to see that there's a view. But the guys in the north, they don't even look under my hood because they already
right.
know.
Hey, look, but you know what? You want to know something? No, I'm new to it, and you know I can't change nothing my goddamn self, but. I'm from here, but my whole life, my third word spoken was Cadillac. But I've always been an engine man. And it's just, so I like to see motors. You know, it's not even to see if you better than me or not. I just love motors. So if I can, I want to see what you're running.
Right. But the reason I say the guys in the north not going to look to see what I'm running, because the guys in the north know I run.
They know we got a Buick.
I run a back route if it's out of Buick.
Really? No. Are you talking about you your own car or work racing against another Buick?
Oh, my own car.
Oh, okay. I got you. I feel you. I know how that is. It can't match that torque, man. I got one.
Hey,
torque.
Lee, I'm gonna get off for a second, but I'm gonna call back. I gotta call 311 and tell them to bring me something from Walmart.
Okay, good. Rick.
Yeah, that torque is a mug, man. Boy, I got one. I know.
What I was saying is, Rick, when he come back on, he'll tell you. 311 will tell you. Lab will tell you. My producer will tell you, anyone, Daniel will tell you, if Keith was on the line, he will tell you, Daniel's uncle with the Blue Money Carlo, anyone that's from the north will tell you, I would rather give up drag racing than to switch engines. All they make is a beauty for me. But that, what I say is that to say this here. Check this out. I grew up cut teeth on running out the back door.
Yeah.
But that did me a favor by cutting it to the 8th. Because now one of these 12 hard hitting suckers can really do what they do off that line. They tried to take it back away from me by saying run a 10-inch tire. But I'm not gonna play no 10-inch tire. I'm gonna run a Buick engine. I'm gonna run some 1633s on it, and either you're gonna race me or you not. Now I can't wait to see one of these Chevrolets try to catch me.
Me too. Me too. I don't want to see that.
Don't try to catch me off the line. I wasn't able to do it this year, but this time next year I will be. And I will see when I'm trying to catch me. Yeah, I hit him off the line. I seen Tony Bryan right there at 41. When the guy, matter of fact, the guy used to drive my car. They got a blue car, Blue Thunder. I saw Tony Bryan catching. They both had problems. But I saw Tony Bryan catching them in the eighth. And I bet it with the beer. Not because I'm a beer lover, but that was just part of it. That was 99% of it. But the 1% was that I just didn't feel like he was going to catch him. But in reality, I would like to see them take a car that and catch me.
Okay.
You put the generic cars back in drag racing. But they were totally out. They were just out of racing. The truth is just the truth. Chevrolet is at one to a point where we just can't go. But when you cut that track in half, you bring us back in.
Mm-hmm.
That's just my opinion.
Hey, bro, D.
Back in.
I want to get you to fill out the rest of the show, Bummy. I'm going to go ahead and try to get myself together, man. I'm going to see if I can get myself out of here and head on down to Bobby Cole then.
What time y'all trying to leave?
Ain't no y'all. Just me. I'm going by myself.
Well, before you leave, I might run down there with you.
Okay. Well, get everything arranged and if I get everything arranged, I'm going to take my little Buick. You're more than welcome because ain't nobody going to be riding in it but me.
Yeah,
are you on your way?
I'm trying to get it together now. That's what I'm trying to get it together now.
Yeah, give me a call before you cut out.
Okay, before I make any move, I'll call you, but I have to get myself in here and get a shower, and get my clothes together, and make my little call to see if everything's straight for me as far as everything being taken care of tomorrow here at the household. And once I see that, if everything is straight, then I'm going to get ready to get on down here.
Okay.
And the weather, and it's dry down here too, y'all, for those who was checking the weather. It's dry.
No rain.
There we go.
I haven't seen none yet since I've been to Memphis. I've been here since about 7:30.
I like that. I sure want to see you get out there with old Bobby now.
It's going to be good. I already seen him already. I've seen Bobby already. He was at the shop waiting on us when we got down there.
Donnie didn't have nothing locked in down there, did he?
Three-Lord called Donnie today, and I think he said he was not coming.
Yeah, I don't think he's going there. I think, I know I talked with Fred earlier today.
Three-Lord going.
Fred told me he wasn't going.
Three-Lord is here.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
I pulled his car here. That's what I know.
Okay.
So trade there and looking for action.
Uh-huh.
Fred told me earlier that they weren't going. I think they're getting them next out. They're going to be in Maryland. I don't think they're going.
Let me go on and see if I can make my arrangements. D, drag all y'all. Take care. God bless all y'all, man. And, AD, I'll give you a call once I find out what the demonstration is.
Okay.
Okay, now take it easy. If you ride out, be safe,
if,
bro.
If I do, I'm going to hit you, too.
Okay, cool.
All right.
All right, thanks, Larry.
Hey, Rick.
Yeah.
And back to what I was telling my man, do I have to pop my hood? Did other guys see whether I'm running Chevrolet or a Buick?
Not in Chicago. They know you got a Buick.
They know without a doubt they don't make nothing.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You got a Buick.
So, he got a car. He got a Cutlass. Man, I would love to see him with that Cutlass now running the 80. And that was room for improvement car.
Okay.
That was room for improvement in that car. I would like to see him in that car in the eighth and out with these guys. You know, I know for a show, man, I'm not going to be at the top. I'm definitely not going to be at the bottom. They're going to know I'm here. And it's going to be with a beard. These big box ship ladies, they got almost twice the cubic inches that I can get. But I promise you, they will know I'm in action.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see one of them catch them 1633. And to tell me to put some 1000s on, or tell me to put some 29s on, that's speaking Spanish to me. I'm not going to
interrogate that at all. Either you're going to run me with these 16, or I'm going to go on to the next man. And to tell
you know what,
at
my race, I had a 10W31 on my Ford.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the car got a little loose on Rodney in mid-track, and I thought maybe it was trying to knock the tires off a little bit. So I brought it out the next week. We was at the Grove. I had a 1431 on it. It ain't, you know, it ain't 60 no harder. You know, so, I mean, I do like the little tires and everything, but I know it'll be more stable, you know, in high gear with the bigger tires on it.
Well, see, that's what I was just about to tell you. I don't do it so much for the 60 and harder. It's more of, I know for a fact, if that car do any bit of bopping down that line, that big tire will shut it down way faster than that.
It's definitely more stable with the bigger tire on it, you know, because you got, you got a wider footprint.
That's it. You know, some things are self-explanatory. You take a man that wears size 7 and a man that wears size 12, that man that wears size 7 is a lot easier to get off his feet.
Yeah.
Than that 12. So give me that big tire. Now, as far as the 16 go, you can make them 60 high with that bigger tire on it. Because you can give them different, you can bring them up different. And the thing is you're only going half the track. I'm not even trying to hide nothing, Rick, myself. You know, I ain't even trying to hide anything. I'm going to put a 513 in low rider. They said that's going the wrong way. Everybody now is going to, let's get people putting 410 and 411 in. I'm going to put a 513, 530 in.
So do you prefer running 455 blocks with 430 heads on them?
Nope, I'm 455 or 455 heads on it.
Okay.
But the truth of the matter is, it's not even 455 heads. Like I said, I'm not one for hiding things. It's an aftermarket head. This guy in Arizona called TA. You know, I had a set of heads once, man. It was a very rarity. It was only 75 sets ever made in the country, period. He had got away from me. But they got aluminum head now, this guy in Arizona is making. So you can get a little better head. You know,
I know about the TA aluminum heads. I was wondering if you was going to run all aluminum now that you can. But it costs a lot of money.
A lot of money.
Well, you could go all aluminum if you want.
I'm going to put it like this here. I'm going to run as much aluminum as my pocket will allow me to.
Yep.
You take that for what you worth. I'm going to run as much as my pocket will allow me to run.
I understand that. Trust me, I know. Ain't that more than half of us only problem? Money.
Well,
shit.
Right now, TA is giving us head and block. And this time next year, I will have them both. Like I said, I'm not going to even try to hide what I'm doing for some fact. I'm doing it with a beard. And all the guys I'm going to run, I already know going to be Chevrolet. So, with that being said, hey, catch me in this eighth. I'm going to love running eighth. I'm a backdoor man. I love running backdoor. But common sense tells me, leave these jokers alone out that backdoor. They're too big for me. I hope they can come and try to catch me in this eighth. That's what I want them to do. I want to see them catch me in this eighth. And I can get more than a handful. I can promise you that. Way more than a handful of fun. They're going to know. Whoever you see D get out with, they're going to know it. That was a race they ain't going to try to run again. Yeah. But hopefully, this is my thing, man. I'm hoping this time next year that I can get out, wake up and get away from these 29s and 28s. But they're putting too much power on them. And I think it's just an accident waiting to happen. Just my opinion, but I think it's actually waiting to happen.
Well, they got them soft, you know. They got them soft down low. They not, you know, bring them out with all the power in them. No way, you know, because the probably 80% of the guys that running them little big tires, none of them got wheelie bars or nothing on. So they ain't really that, you know, they ain't really that firm with them off the starting line. No way.
Right. I mean, you know, I've seen that. I know that. And that's another reason why I want them to catch me with them 1633s. I want them to soft start off with me in the eighth.
Like I said, right. I don't have nothing to hide because I'm riding a beard. But I want to see him catch me this time next year with the beard.
Yeah.
In the eighth. So I'll play out the line with me and see what I do for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know. But that once again, if you build a lot of power, I don't see why. I can't say I don't see people doing it. I see them do it every day. Like Rich was just saying, they're soft off the line and they're trying to bring it in down there. I don't see the purpose of that.
I don't need to see.
It's using. I don't see it. You know,
got 4,000 horsepower, you're only using two of it. You know, why would you spend that extra $30,000 to get that other 2,000 horsepower? You know, that mentality is better to have it and don't need it than to need it and don't have it. But what good is having it and you can't use it?
Yeah,
you understand what I'm saying? You can't bring it across the starting line. You can't turn it in. I don't know, man. I believe, but see, I guess that's the best remedy when you're running that little tire like that, you know, because you need to be able to crank it up, you know, when you need it in the areas that you crank it up at. But if you got a car that can, you know, bring it all off the starting line, you got 2,000 horsepower, you can utilize it from start to finish, you know, but there's a criteria. You got to have a big tire. You got to have a wheelie bar, you know. So I guess, you know, it's just the style of racing that they're doing, D.
That's it. It's the style of racing they're doing, but like you just said, the man that's got 2,000 horsepower and can bring it in off the line because he's got the wheelie bar, he's got the big tire. Love, as you said, you're not going to catch him.
No, because he's going to, especially in the 8th mile, because he's going to put so much damage on you down low. By the time you get to where you enter your power and really after chasing them down, that's going to be over with.
You know what it brings into place? Remember what Seth used to say? Seth used to say you got to stop him from running away from you first.
Yeah.
Then you got to keep him. And then you got to go around him. And you just cut the track in half through it in.
Yeah.
I just don't understand the purpose of doing all that. I've looked at racing all year long. I've looked at different setups in the machine shop with my guy, and I just don't understand the purpose of putting all this horsepower in a car when you can only utilize half of it. It just has yet to add up to me.
Yeah, like, I agree with you on that.
It's better to have it and don't need it than to need it and don't have it. Well, the way they got these cars set up, you ain't going to never need it.
Yeah.
So why have it? You're not going to never need it. And you're defeating the purpose because, once again, you can't, I can't say you're defeating the purpose. I can say what I think. I just don't see how you can ever get truly in the horsepower range where it should be when you got all that power that you can't use.
Yeah.
But now, I'm one of them guys that talk too much and revealing too many drag racing secrets to me. How can, you can't ever use the power. How can you get in your horsepower range if you cut it in half at the track? You didn't cut it in half in the shop where you can rearrange some things, do a little different with the camshaft, do a little different with the gear and converter. You go to the track at 14 and you want to physically shove the car off the track, off the line, to cut the power and bring it in down there. When you think you were up to catch a man that just hammers you off the line, that's me.
Yeah.
Well, hey guys, it's 10 o'clock. I have a few guys here. I don't know if I still got Cadillac with me or not, but I'm thinking of doing another tribute question here. It'll maybe be the next 5 minutes, maybe the next 20 minutes. I don't know. But I think I'm gonna do another one. Seeking three love one again.
I'm going to get to bed here, D, because I've been driving all day. You know three love ain't get no driving.
He makes you drive all the way yourself, man.
I drove all the way here, man, through St. Louis, stopped over in Cape Girardeau. I mean, I've been driving all damn time, bro. So I'll talk to you. I'll talk to you later, D. Just call me.
Yeah, last part, I'll see you in the morning.
Okay, man, and all other fellas, man, y'all have a good night, man. Good
yes, sir,
y'all.
Big. Yes, sir.
All right.
Well, how you doing, Rick?
All right. Y'all have a good weekend.
Yeah. Most guys. But I think Bobby Newell has a good show there. We don't want to forget Brother Wildchild down there with his thing, too. We pray and hope he have a good turnout, too, down there, guys. You know, I think it's his, I believe it's his second or third year anniversary down there. You know, and he's one of our brothers, our black guys that actually own his own track.
Well,
he's not renting the track during the event for the day. He actually owned the track. With that being said, man, these guys do a lot of shows, and we would love to see guys actually go down there and put some events on at Bobby Wildchild's track, just for the simple fact that this is a black-on-black-on organization, and we're not into the black and white thing, but we are into supporting our own.
Right.
So, you know, we don't even care what color you are, but he just happened to be one of ours. And I would love to see guys throw a show out there to give him the support. Because it's, actually, I'm going to look into that now that we mentioned YouTube is not YouTube, but the internet is so popular today, this should give me an answer. I'd like to know, have there ever been a black-owned racetrack before? Over the last 30, 40 years, not one that I know of. It may have been back, you know, we were over there. The pasta, the field, as they called it, had the guys rolling the dirt. But since drag racing has really taken a serious turn for racing, I don't honestly believe there has been a black-owned facility. But now we do have one.
Okay.
And now that we do have one, we would like to give him all the support that we can.
What state is he located in?
I believe, but I'm going to ask my producer. I believe he's in Georgia.
Okay.
I believe he's in the southern part of Georgia, I believe. That's my belief now. I'm not really for sure. I've never been to Bobby's track, but I have heard him make the announcement a few times, but I'm getting a little older now. You know, I'm 21 now, so my memory is not what it used to be. But I believe he stated
that he's 21.
Yeah, 21 now. I do believe his track is in Georgia, man. The High Reverend was in Georgia, Timbuktu. We want to support him like we do the other tracks. You know, we support tracks on a daily basis, really, because here, once the weather gets right, man, once the weather gets right, we frequent the grove practically every day of the week. You know, we're somewhere with that track. Come Saturday, you got 41 and Rockford gets the run of action. So, for those that are down there, I know we can't be in here in Chicago, man. You know, we can't do it like we would like to do it. But
yeah.
We can't, brothers in the South, to support that brother and help him be as great a greater success than we have done for the others. Because, like I said in the beginning, as simple thing as this show, I don't care what you think of me, what you don't think of me, how great you think of me, or how less you think of me, I'm going to still love you as a brother. And without your support, ringing that phone, punching that one button, saying to me, what's up, bro D, what's up, bro Larry, calling to support your show, you know, without things being made and that phone jumping, we nothing. I'm just here. If I have no one to talk on the other end of the line but myself, not very long that I'll be talking, you know. So we need you. And that's how we look at Mr. Wildchild out there. He needs the support of us to make his business a success. And when his business becomes a success, it's us becoming a success. It's not just him, you know.
Right.
It empowers him to do other things. When we support his venture down there, it allows him to do other things. And when we don't support him, it forces him to do other things. And the thing that you force him to do by not supporting is what we don't want to do. The thing that he can do by supporting him is exactly what we want to do. And what I mean by that, the fees don't have to be as high to get in. The track can be open more, you know. He can open the track every day if he wants to, because he is. But if he can't pay the light bill, he can't pay someone to come down and treat that track like it needs to be treated, then what are we doing? We have not supported his cause, which is for our cause, because he's given us a place of what? To do what we worship. Not so much worship, I don't like to use that word, because God was asked, y'all know God before me. So we don't want to make that away from our God. We can make it our woman, though. We can definitely make it that. But we don't want to, we don't want to worship raising, but we sure want to love it and do all we can to make it a success. Keep it growing, you know, keep it going in the up direction and not let it turn and turn into something bad. But all that being said, all that comes with what? The support of his show. The support of what he's got going on down there. We need to support him at all costs. Yeah, look up something for me. And I'm trying to take some back into our face, love you, baby. Thank you, baby. I ain't that good at talking and texting, man. You guys got a bad word on Judy, literally. Not really computer, literally. I hate to shout at the end of the week. But like I was saying earlier, yes, it will most definitely, no other way around it, it will definitely be a Buick for me. That's all it could ever be for me. It don't make nothing else. I wouldn't raise nothing else, no kind of way. And I've had ample opportunity to run a Chevrolet, man. I started my first car for Chevy. First car I ever owned was a 67 Chevy.
Chevelle?
Capri. First car I owned. But you know, one of the things that really made me like Buick, man, I was a kid. And I tell you a story quite often. I was a kid, man, and my grandfather had a 68 umbrella. This old man passed by, I was a 63 Wildcat.
He had a what year?
He had a 63 Cat.
Oh, 63. Okay.
And them glass packs, man, them glass packs were fire. Ooh, you could hear him coming from miles of sight, it seemed like. He pulled up beside Marco. Marco was driving the car. He pulled up beside him. And he looked over at Marco and he nodded his head like, you want to try this? Marco looked at my grandfather. And my grandfather gave him a signal to go ahead. And when he called that Chevy, and the old man called that Buick, and all you could hear was them glass packs just running. The tune started getting so thin until you could barely hear it. He was running just that far in front of him. He ran clear out of sight of us. We were going down 57. When we got to make the turn to get on 55, he had pulled over and was standing up in the walking front waving at us. And I was a kid, so, you know, I said to myself right then, I said, if I get grown and either buy my own car, I want to buy me a brand new 63 Wildcat. I should have another car that would be new by the time I got into that one.
Yeah.
I thought I'd be a new 63 Wildcat. And from that point on, I've been a Buick lover.
I'm like you, but I actually, my daily driver is my grandparents' car, which is a 75 Duke.
My son told me that day that he wanted to get him one and put two twin turbochargers on. He wanted, I think he said 75 somewhere. He liked the car. And he was like, he wanted to get one and put twin turbos on it just to have on the street. I told him he's wasting time, but, you know, he got his own job, his own money. He's going to get his own. I don't think he's going to get no action with it. He said, you said with twin turbos, it can be a Volkswagen. Your action will come thin.
Yeah, that's, you know, thick right there. Mine is bone stock, and even bone stock, man, it's like, wow. this is my daily driver, but even bone stock, the thing is a beast, man.
Yeah,
damn.
That's a 75. Just think, that's a 75, and just think what it was like. If I'm not mistaken, that car got like 270 horsepower.
Yeah, just they downgraded it, but you know the potential is astronomical. Right. That was just that emission shit they put on there.
Right. But now, if that's a beast, now, just think what it was like in 70 when the car had 370 horsepower.
Them GSs and GSXs is like, yeah, like Donye got and you probably got and other people I know got, yeah. Yeah.
So Ye started out with GS. I raced the race. Let me get his first good race car. Was a GS. And yeah, I think he worked the car in Kentucky. I think he worked the car at the Buick meet. And he started getting regal. You know, and then he just started going faster and faster.
Mm-hmm.
But, to me, it's nothing like that Buick to me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, my, I don't mean to cut you off. You just stunned me. Bone stuck. I mean, I think the net horsepower on my car was like not even 200 or 200 at the max. But that's fudging numbers. You know what I'm saying? That you know, I was an engineering, pre-engineering student and everything, and I then got schooled on how they used to work shit out back then.
Yeah.
It could make way, way more than that. They just choked the shit out of it. Excuse me for cursing.
Yeah.
You know, for admission.
EPA, you know, EPA. First of all, they make you choke them because they allow you, they only allow you to put a certain radius, a tire on it. So the tire rating won't go past 120 or 121 miles an hour. You can't afford to let the engine build up past that. You know, that's the first thing to do is choke them down. You know, I used to have a friend of mine out in Detroit that was a technician for Kira Clark. And him and I used to talk quite often, and he used to tell me some of the stories on, you know, how they put the horsepower up front and then choke it back down the back end. I used to go out in the back and test the cars, tell them, you know, story about how the stage two came about. In fact, when the stage one came about, then the stage two came about. And the stage two came about to win a comeback with the SS Malibu, you know. But they never allowed it to hit the street because when it went on the back to test the car, it did something real nasty to the boot. And what it did to the boot wasn't good for the streets. So they said, we can't release this car.
Oh.
Yeah. I used to talk to them guys quite often. That's when I was 18, 19, you know, I got a little older now, 21, 22 days. They don't, you know, guys died just terrified with 45, 50 in, you know.
Right.
I have another friend of mine, man, up in, I think, Stanton, Michigan, I believe. He told me one day, he said, by God, I'm so sick and tired of seeing Chevrolets and Buicks. So he went out. He was a car salesman. He had like 32 years. What he would do is sell all the cars. He sold them brand new. When they brought them back in the trade them in, he would buy them. And he said he was so tired of seeing Chevrolets and GS, and so he went and got him a 68 Chevy pickup truck and put a Buick block in it. He could run like 12 back. This was like, man, it was like 78, maybe or something like that. He could run 1250 with that thing. He ran 1255, 1250 somewhere, like clockwork. But he did it because he was tired of seeing Buick and Chevrolets in them.
Hmm.
Yeah. So I know a guy that ended up with a stage two head block. The guy bought the car, and the first thing he did was pull the block out and put a big black Chevy in it.
Yeah, you know that's what the growing thing is in this what do we call it, sport or passion or hobby, you know, racing. That, you know, that's the common thing. It don't even matter what the car is. It could be a Japanese car. The going thing is throw a Chevy in it. You know what I'm saying? Dude, that's just the nature of that. It could be
that's
a Ford, Chrysler, throw a Chevy in it.
That's it, man. That's it. Like I said, this guy ended up with a stage two head. He ended up with a stage two head because first thing the guy did was pull the block out and threw it in the corner. There was nothing wrong with the block. He just wanted to put a big black Chevy in it. So the guy came on and bought it off of him. I think he got it for a little nothing, too. Because the guy, I can't say he didn't know what he had. I don't think he even cared about what he had. It just it had to have a Chevy in it. So he put a Chevy in, and the guy got the beauty off of it or nothing. You know,
Yeah, I mean anything but Chevy, man. I'll fix the shit out of a Chevy. I'll sell a Chevy. You know, I mean, I'm a mechanic. I'll hook anything up, no question. But personally, I'd rather run anything but a Chevy. Now, I had a raw one myself. Now, I don't want to be a hypocrite. Now, I had a nice 86 IROC with T-tops, with shift kit, chip, 5-liter, man. That thing was a monster. Monster. I mean, it's just one of them things. I guess I always hated on Chevy because they so common.
Well, you know, the old theory was you go to, back then, 10-second car was on a trailer, you know. Today, my son showed me something last, two, three weeks ago. It was kind of a big drag event. And my son showed me something that just, it's just mind-boggling. Chrysler is coming out with a car that's going to run 1045.
Miles per hour?
ET. 1045 and a 45.
Oh, damn.
1045. Hey, Curry,
I'm
still here?
Yeah, yeah. Hey, Shane.
What's up?
Yeah, right back there.
It was called the
Wildcat. It was at the Wilbur
Cruise today.
What is it called?
It's called the Wildcat.
It makes 700 horse.
Oh, you're talking about the Hellcat. Yeah, that Hellcat. Yeah. Oh,
Hellcat. You're right. He said the Hellcat. Yeah. He's right.
That
thing would run like 1045
off the showroom floor, man.
Yeah, it got a blower on it. Roots blower on it.
I heard 1090.
1090. You know, but my thing is, that was back in the day, that was like, I'm sure they were showing y'all people. Back, you know, back in the days, that was like unheard of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a 1090 car was a trailer car. And now you got these guys driving down the street now. You know, it's just amazing. And the old saying about a Chevy was, I see this, say this. They were saying, man, back in the day, when anybody go to the junkyard and make a Chevrolet run 10.
Mm-hmm.
And you could just about do just that, really. You know, you really could. You could get Vega converters, get everything up, cut the firewall, cut the quarter panels out, and put the biggest that would get up under it, beat the camshaft in it, and go out and run 10-9-11 motors with it, you know, practically easy. So, you tend to, some of the guys that were stubborn like myself, they tend to get away from Chevrolet because they want a challenge to make some run. Big Drag, for instance, he's a Chevy man now, but he's a diehard Dodge man, really. I told you that, though. Tell him I say it, but he's a diehard Dodge man.
Yeah, I seen the video when Gunner gave him the interview. He told you, he said his story. He said at first, the very first start, he had a Mustang. You know, his parents had a Mustang, and he was still his mama's car, like I used to do with Intrepid. You know what I'm saying? And then he got into Dodge Mopar, and he had a real Mopar race car. He said he got in a Chevy when somebody had a fast street car Chevy to beat his Mopar race car. So then that's when he got the Chevy got bitten by the Chevy bug. But yeah, first he started off with the Mustang, then went to Mopar. I like the Chevy.
Believe me, man, his real love, like I said, you know, I can't tell that, but his real love is Dodge. That's his real love. You know, I got a close friend of mine, a man named Jerry George. He's out of Memphis now. I haven't talked to him in a while. They're going to talk to him. He's in Germantown. But he brought his plane with Chevrolet a little bit there. But his real love is a Dodge. You know, that's his real love. Is them guys love Dodges. That's why they can understand me being a beauty lover, because they know how they are. They run Chevrolet because it's so much easier to make run. And the reason for that, the part for it is just so much more accessible.
Right. More accessible, Chevy. More affordable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Less money per horsepower.
Man, that's
or per
Chevy.
Power period, shall I say. Go ahead.
Chevy has probably 35 different sets of heads you can buy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They got so many heads, they started running out of names. They started naming degrees, but around names. They got Cadillac. Remember when Cadillac used to have the Coupe de Ville, the Sedan de Ville, and the Elegance, and the...
Mm-hmm.
Now, you don't hear those names. All you hear now is Edition, CTS, STS.
Right, right, right. And most of them, most of them does not. That was something never heard of in the history of Cadillac. Cadillac was always known to have one of the largest engines of an American car. No doubt a V8, but it'll be even the biggest of the V8s. Now, yeah, you got turbocharged four cylinders and little V6s in them joints.
Well, look here. Chevy came up with a 454. Cadillac came with a 500.
Right.
They had a 472. They did a 500.
Yep.
You know, but like you said, it's bigger, bigger fast. But it's just amazing how they're taking these smaller engines now and making them do what the big engine could do, or did do, or could have done, but I won't say it couldn't, because it really could have did it if you had them toned down, because you didn't know then, like you know now. The suspension of the cars, now they know more about the suspension work. The tires, they know more about what's best as far as radius for the tire. Now they know more about that type of stuff. But the Bible says you learn, you learn better, you do better. So as they have learned better, they're able to do better with these cars now. You know, but like I said earlier, the day of dreaming of a car coming from the showroom with, say, 700 horsepower and running 10 anything, it wasn't even a dream.
Yeah.
It wasn't even a dream. Now it's a reality.
Yep.
You know, it's just not a dream. It's a reality now. You know? But that's just, a, you know, that's the technology where we live in. I tell people all the time, man, the computer world, computer is the best thing in the world that ever happened. And the worst thing in the world that ever happened. It's the best.
You sound like me. You sound like me, exactly. Exactly.
It's the best computer and the worst thing at the same time, man.
You have the whole world at your fingertips on the internet. The world, literally. But you also, at the same time, say the worst thing that happened, because that just means that no matter how positive you can make it to be, it could just be just as equally negative. Depends on, you know.
who's accepting it at that time. Look here, like, we know we speak on these shows quite often. YouTube, perfect example. You go tonight and you run drag. Drag run a 10-20. You run 10-02. Before you get home, the drag race world will know what you just ran.
Right. Just that.
Courtesy of downloading. Some guys, man, are actually downloading videos at the track 2 minutes after the race take place. Well, if it wasn't for a computer world like it is now, you probably could have left that track and went down to St. Louis or Detroit and ran somewhere else. But now that guy that you want to go there and run, he's not going to run you now because he just seen, or just heard, or just saw you on YouTube, and he feel like you too fast. He probably said, let me just stopwatch. And he kick you off. Well, he kicked you off at 10:90. He's figured with the reaction time that he may have, I'm going to add another 10 to that, another 2 tenths to that. So now I'm going to make it around 10:30. He's too fast for me. But without the internet, he wouldn't be able to do that. So like I say, like you just said, it's the best thing and the worst thing to ever happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Internet has killed a lot of racing. It has created a lot of racing, and it has killed a lot of racing. Crazy as what a person can see. But, well, right here, right now, these guys are not running afraid of Danier because they done seen him run. They're afraid because what they see on YouTube.
All y'all guys, actually, just for me personally, last year, I've been in the racing my whole life, but I never had anybody close to me. So all I could do, like last year, I'm watching all these YouTube videos, and I'm like, man, how can I meet these guys? I don't know how God worked it out, but things just happened. I ended up somehow getting Danier's number. I'm calling him personally, telling him I'm a fan and everything. And I just got slipped in like that.
That's good. You know, I say it all the time, man. It's good when you can actually talk to a person, let that person know that you are a fan of his. You're a fan of his car. and that person is willing to talk to you. He's not big-headed. And Donnie A.K., I know Donnie A.K. from when he was in South Shawnee, you know. He actually used to hang on to my belt buckle when his uncle's racing there, when his uncle was doing the driving there. His uncle still racing, but Donnie A.K. do all the big racing driving now. But I know him from the time he was short, you know. And
he might have lived right around me. Before he moved out to the south suburbs, I know he's from somewhere right around here. Not far from here. Not far at all from where I'm at. I don't know exactly because I didn't ask him exactly where in the city he was from. I know it's like within walking distance more than likely from where I'm from.
Okay. But, yeah, and like I said, man, I've watched him from the time he was a kid coming up in the racing world. And he just, you know, love what he do. He's getting faster and faster.
I was actually proud, man. I ain't gonna lie. When I was watching them YouTube videos, I was like, wow, there's some black guys, man, doing this, man. It's this fast and got the love for it. I felt like an outsider my whole life. Here I am, this nobody I knew was into it. They all knew I loved it. You know, like I say, my third word spoken was Cadillac after mom and dad. They all knew I liked the cars, but, man, you know, they'd engage me a little bit with quizzes and stuff, but then nobody was, like, real into it like me. And then I felt it was mostly only white people, you know. I felt weird, man, until I found out, no, there's other brothers, man. But I just had to find them.
Right. You had to meet the right people. That's all. You had to meet the right people. You know, we all here, we all got lucky because there was a guy here, man, that he's still around today. I don't think he's racing right now, but there's a guy here, man, called CW. And CW used to just, man, it was like he used to a lot of us that are originally from the West Side.
Mm-hmm.
Man, he's like the fastest thing in the world. We didn't think everything could be as fast as he was.
Yeah.
It's like he was actually flying. Man, his cars, like they would leave the ground where they run. Like he would take it off, you know. Mm-hmm. So we all.
He was putting nitro-methane in this stuff, wasn't he?
What he did, he gave us all something to shoot for, you know, something to shoot for. Then not only did he have fast cars, he had a pocket full of money. So with that being said, he gave all that something to shoot for. You know, to run fast, and he was running up to be faster. You know, that's what it was for that. And from that, you know, the guy just kept going. Getting faster and faster. Those guys was quick, either running back then. Man, he was probably one of the quickest guys we had ever seen at that time. So, it's just the way the racing world has evolved, you know. Yeah, I tell you all the time, this thing that, like, I'm not into this little tie thing. I'm just not. You know, like we were saying about the back door and the quarter mile. I don't knock the guys. I don't even knock the guys in the South that try to insist that you run a eighth instead of a quarter. And the reason for that, that's what they do. That's their best foot forward. And they're supposed to do that because they put their best foot forward. I don't think it would be even fair to them or fair to you to think it would be fair to them if they really came up here and said, we're going to run out the back door. No questions asked. You know, they're supposed to try to get you to run what they do.
Yeah.
We just, as a whole, man, it's what we were brought up doing and what we like doing. So, mm-hmm. You know, in that, yeah, we're going to try to run that. But I think it's going to be good. I think the closing season is going to be good. I think it's going to be just my opinion. And it's only natural that my opinion would lean this way because of where I'm from. I think it's gonna be better for the North than it's gonna be for the South as far as the win loss go. But you know, that's a natural thing. Where you think I would think that way? Considering that my show is based out of the North, I'm from the North. You know, you just naturally think that's where I'm gonna lean from. I think it's gonna fare better for us than it do them. I don't think it's gonna fare that good for them. As the season closed out, my best friend found his remote control car here. Yeah? And I can't hear nothing for him right now. But I think it's going to close out real good for us.
and not so good for them. But time will tell. You know, only time will tell. It's a waiting situation. Only time will tell. But then, now that I say that now, I don't want no one to think I'm saying them guys play. It's not going to be no bush of them. You want to whip them. You know, they're not going to be easy to whip. They're definitely not going to lay down. You know, they came here last week, and they got it handed to them. They best horses took whooping. But it's not like they're not going to try to come back. It's not like they're not going to try to speed up.
Right.
It's not like that they don't know how, don't have the resources to speed up, because they do and they are. You know, so the North just got to, now that you got that one turn of victory under the belt, you got to keep going forward. We don't have no stopping room. We don't have no let-up room at all. You know, I have to keep the charge to the middle of it, you know. That's racist. That's racist. I don't think no one get BET to come on air and say, do you think that the North going to beat the South in no way they want? That's what I'd be saying. It's what we want. It's what we do.
Mm.
So there's no way you could count on getting somewhere from the North to say, I prefer to run an eighth and a quarter. You know, you might get someone here and there, but as an average, above average, you're going to get anyone to run the quarter before they run the eighth.
Right. That's right.
You know, that's just how it is. That's just how it is. You know?
Yeah, well, the quarter, is from the spectator's point of view, the quarter looks more entertaining.
It gives them a chance to see those two cars run twice as long.
Yeah.
You know, you got to look at it gives them a chance to see those two cars run twice the distance than they would have had if they had ran the eighth.
Right, because when I went to the NMRA, NMCA shootout, Chevy versus Ford shootout with Terrell over there around Route 66,
mm-hmm.
man, to see a car run sixes and a quarter, man, that had my heart stop. Like, damn, you know. But these people running these super fast speeds in the eighth, man, how about running a super fast speed in a quarter, man? That stuff looks, in person, looks amazing.
it's numbers you never dreamed of, really. I can remember when folks like ran their first six-second pattern. You know, it's like, they had the ear. There's just nowhere else for them to go. And now they're running mid-50s and 40s. Some of the guys are running 47, 48. You know, that goes back to what I said earlier. Where the time going to come when we say, okay, these cars have just gone as fast as they can go? Where do we run out of ideas? You know, do we ever? Do you think we ever run out of ideas to speed this thing up?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Fiberglass, the carbon fiber now.
You know, the automobile itself is older than you and me. So, and then they've been racing them since they came out. So, really, I don't have an answer to that question.
Well, it's like I said earlier, drag racing has been around since the beginning of time, basically, because they ran from the beginning. Even if you go back to slavery time, man, the slave owners, They book races with their slaves.
Yep, true.
You know, one slave against the other, slave master slave.
Mm-hmm.
So it was another form of drag racing. After that came the mules, the horses.
Mm-hmm.
Then the horses against the locomotive. When the train came about, you had guys that did not want to give up their horses, and they would actually go out and race the train against the horse. And from there, they came with cars. Here comes Ford. Ford been racing since they made cars.
Yep.
You know, then General Motors was developed, and there comes the General Motors brand. Yeah. Drag racing has been around for 101 years. And I don't see it going anywhere, but it's the speed aspect of it now. That's just the scary part of it. Don't get me wrong, I say it's the scary part. I would love to run them type of numbers they're running. I know I can't do it when I do, you know, but you're always striving
and stretching for that number.
Yeah.
When you see them guys running, I mean, damn, what do I do to get that type of energy?
What I can't say, what the trend from what I've seen now, not on the grudge scene, of course, but just drag racing, period, going back to that that race that I was last talking about, they got some super fast cars out that are burning clean. Like I saw the two Mustang Cobra Jets that were powered by propane, man, and they were flying.
Yep. Well, I saw this last year. Diaz had an event up at 41. I think it was a beautiful show, man. A great show. I enjoyed every minute of it. He had two cars there. One was a twin turbo. One was a nitrous car. Billy Vinton was a nitrous car. Billy won the first two races, so he didn't run the third one. It was scary to run two out of three. But if I'm not mistaken, a vet, that turbo could not handle that nitrous in the eighth.
Mm-hmm.
And with that said, that brings something to mind. I hear guys all the time on these different shows saying how, you know, a turbo car, a nitrous car just cannot, pound for pound, outperform a turbo car. And I'm one of the ones that would be first to tell you, a turbo car can be just unpredictable. And later at night, it really can, because the cooler the air gets, the heavier it gets. And that turbo starts sucking that air in lower, that much. It's looking for somewhere to go and get there fast, very, very fast. But with that being said, we have to go back to Billy Glidden. Now that everybody don't have Billy's money, they got Bob Glidden's son.
Yeah, I'll come out right now.
You know, they don't have Bob in their corner. I understand that. But we got some more fast guys that can talk. Some pretty good engine builders they can talk to. And, man, listen.
All right.
I just find it hard to accept that a turbo car can just constantly have to be fed to outperform a nitrous car, especially in the 80s.
Uh-huh.
You know, back in 86 when the Grand National got popular, one of the biggest downfalls was the National was the jet lag, the turbo lag. You know, guys used to cut the wastegate a quarter of an inch to try to get their junk out and get in faster. Now you learn different tricks and do better and better and better with it. But it's still, to me, just can't hit it as hard as that nitrous carburetion.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you and I the only ones on the line?
I don't know.
It sounds like it.
But Cadillac was there, and I don't know if he dropped out. Yeah, actually, the show is about to end. One of those nights where you got most guys going to Memphis to be with Bobby. You got a lot of guys going down in Georgia to be with Wild Child down there. And a lot of guys are traveling. I don't know if a dude has sent me a couple of text messages that we know that we had guys on air, but we couldn't hear
them. Yeah.
Quite a few guys on air, but we couldn't hear them. So you get to traveling, and it's hard to get. I started to get a good connection with it. That was going to be said, one of the greatest divisions in the world. But when you travel, it becomes hard to get some of these things to key up and stay in. You know, all these different currents and circles that you go through, different towns and spaces you travel through, in and out. But I guess we never really got them to come in. Drag trying to get to a stop when you got the middle, he didn't even come in.
Right. Because that was just somebody for me on my cell phone, so I'm gonna have to cut out. But you free to call me anytime. We in the same industry too. So my name is Kareem.
You're a truck driver, aren't you?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Guess who might be my future boss? Tate.
Who said that?
Tate.
Oh, you think you're a driver? I'm never saying Tate do cars, don't he?
Yeah, he intermodal.
Right, yeah.
Yep, yep.
I'm sure I see you out there, man.
Oh, you should see me out there. You should see me out there as soon as I get back out there. I just got off the truck from Night Refrigerated just a few months ago.
Yeah. Yep. I've been in Ripley Eyes every day, man. Every day I'm in the Ripley Eyes. You'll see Truck 105, Power Cars in the door.
Truck 105, what truck?
105.
That's what I thought you said. For what company?
Power Cars.
Repeat that.
Power. P-O-W-E-R. Power Cars.
Power,
light blue.
Okay.
Yeah, light blue truck. Okay. So if you see a light blue truck out there, and it's truck 105, hey, holler at me. It'll be me.
Rachel, you got a handle?
I very seldom I can take my CB out, but
no problem, because I don't like them either, because you'd be all kind of people on there, and it might get you upset.
I had a guy with me, got a ride with him, man. He'd be on the air. He'd be covering and crying. I don't even want to hear that noise.
Right. I'd rather put on some satellite radio, listen to some light jazz or something, man, and hear that bullshit. That's just me, though.
That's it. I'll put my headset on and go to YouTube and listen to my gospel singers while I listen to junk. I don't listen to junk. But you'll definitely see me out there. I'm out there 8 days a week.
All right. My number is 773-236.
Two, three, six.
5249. That's my cell. And you spell my name K-H-A-R-I.
A-R-I. Okay.
Yep.
That's 236.
You said it exactly right.
Okay. Give it up again. 236.
5249.
5249. I got you.
Yep. 773. Yep. I think I'm the same age as your son, if I'm not mistaken.
My son will be 24 in a few days, man.
Oh, no. I'm older than that.
He'll be 24 in a few days. Yeah. Punk, see what you're going to take care of his dad now instead of me taking care of him. That's right, man. I'm trying to get him in the truck and wear it right now. Actually, he's debating on whether he want to drive or go to him. He don't really know what he want to do right now.
But even if he don't drive, I tell everybody, man, it's worth having the license. Sure it's worth having it. And not losing it.
Take what? A class A or B. It doesn't matter. Preferably an A, but even a B, it'll open a lot of doors for you.
Yep.
And they're not to be closed. Because you can work any time you want to work. It may not be with the company you want to be with. It may not even make the exact amount of money that you would like to make. Might be a little more, maybe a little less. But you can still make a decent living as a truck driver.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely can. Bro, I know you got to run, but I'll be talking with you.
Yes, sir, man. Good. Finally, I've been wanting to talk to you 101, and it worked out today.
Yeah. Hey, appreciate you calling, man.
Yeah, hey, oh, by the way, since nobody else chimed in, and they might actually be listening, but I was keeping it a secret because I was just telling Tate this today because I was going back and forth with him on the Facebook, but you ever heard of Bill Trovato?
Bill Trovato.
Out of New York. He builds Oldsmobile engines.
Okay.
And other brands, but and I got an opportunity to buy his car. But see, that's a time car. But that's a time car. But see, I'm not even really a grudge racer, so to speak. I haven't gotten started yet. I just want to race. But I have an opportunity to buy his car though.
Well, if you hang around Tate, you'll become just that. You will become a racer if you hang around Tate. Right now, he's kind of quiet because his car is down. And he's struggling every day trying to get that thing going. But once he gets that rigor back in order and get him back on track, you know, as a BG said, trained to go, he's trained to go. If you hanging around the seat, you will be racing. If you got that, it won't be long.
That's what's up. Because I've been a fan of his since last year, too. It's all on my Facebook wall. I got pictures of his. Before I even knew what he looked like or his name, you know, I liked the car. I used to see it run. And things just worked out. God just worked this whole thing out. It's kind of blowing my mind how it works, but, yeah. I mean, these are people I never expected to even talk to or meet. some of these people that I've actually met so far. So.
Right. And then you look, you end up on the phone with them and talking to them.
Mm-hmm. Hanging at their shops, being down, they accepted me, all that. It's all good, man, so far. I just got to get my money right.
We was up in Martin here a few weeks ago, and a couple of guys came up and they're like, "You Uncle Larry?" And he's like, "Yeah, that'd be me." They said, "Man, I'm so glad to meet you."
Mm-hmm.
You know, we finally get a chance to put a face with the voice.
Voice,
we,
right.
We hear you on the air. We hear you on the air. We finally get a chance to meet you, man. And a couple of guys want the baby boy. They're like, "Man, we finally get a chance to meet you." You know, this is why Uncle Larry coined a phrase called fellowship. And some of the guys really thought it was funny when he first came on with the phrase about fellowship.
When he first said it, I was with it 100% because I was, thank God, blessed to have that spiritual foundation. You know, all of us don't come raised with that, you know, having that God center. But when he said that, I was with it, I knew exactly where it was coming from. Because especially us as Black Americans, man, and you see what's going on down there in Ferguson, Missouri. We need more unity, man, because, like, the way this, the younger people, go ahead.
We need Christ now more than ever.
Yep.
And a lot of times, I have, several times, really, I'll say that, several times I have started to open my show with a prayer. But I won't do it. And the Bible says this. He said, "If you shamed on me now before me, I'll be shamed on you before my Father, which is in heaven." So I can never, ever be ashamed of him, because I didn't want him to tell me to part from me, for I know you not, for you work of iniquity. But a lot of time I have wanted to do it. I don't do it because of what we are about. We're about drag racing. A lot of guys are into it. A lot of them are not. You'd be surprised, though, man, at the guys that come on this air and actually have roots in Christ. You probably be surprised at them. Some of the very ones that you think are not here.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. Yeah. I had a brother call me, let me see, now let me get it right. I believe Thursday. Brother called me Thursday. Me and this brother, man, we have been very close to first before. 35, 36 years, maybe. So when it is, 30 years for sure. The brother called me and he was telling me about his father-in-law had to him about his illness and brought Christ to him. And he was telling him how, you know, he's not going to force the Lord up on him and he's not into that. But what he will do, tell him, you know, just get a relationship with him. Start touching base with him. And I told him, I said, "Man, I said, tell you the truth, we don't have to slap tables and all that to pray." You know, a lot of times when I'm in my truck, I just carry on a general conversation with Christ like you and I talking right now.
Okay.
And I got started talking to the brother, and he started telling me some things that he was, you know, starting to get into. And he said, "Man, he feels so much better." He said, "Wherever you guys want to go, let's go." He was ready to get in the car right then and ride out. He's been kind of sick, you know. And he's been praying for us. Like I said, man, the Bible says he can do everything but fail. One of the things that we miss, that's why I said, I'm like you, I'm glad Larry held strong. Larry held his hope. And Don McKirkland did a song that says, "When you've done all you can, just stand." That's different. Well, Larry did all he could with the slogan of fellowship, and he wouldn't turn that hope loose. Now, every show that practically come on, one of the first things you hear them guys say, second or third thing but that you hear them guys speak on, is fellowship.
Okay.
And we do want to fellowship with each other, and we do want to meet each other and get to see each other. You know, it has became a world-renowned, if somebody Pat Riley did when he came with the slogan, three-peat. He ended up making, I think, $500,000 off of it. If Larry could have coned the slogan and patterned it, he could have made money off of fellowship. It was now, you know, has caught on, because what happened.